on time and on budget guaranteed. Give renovations a call to 831-620-1700 or visit renovations on their website at renovations.net. Thank you for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The Dow dropping 256 points today on very disappointing news from General Electric.
GE said that earnings this past quarter were going to be disappointing, but they also cut their overall profit outlook for the rest of the year. And this is really a signal that the problems we've been seeing in the financial sector and in the economy is now spreading to other industries.
Came as a surprise. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus, GE losing more than 12.5% of its value today. How they caught an AWOL Marine wanted for murder.
Prosecutors say the wife of Marine Corporal Cesar Lorien turned down his request for help after he fled North Carolina for his native Mexico 3 months ago.
It's not against the law to communicate, and she specifically denied to provide those resources when she was asked.
The 21-year-old Lorien is charged with murdering a fellow Marine who claimed he raped her. The charred remains of Maria Lauterbach and her 8-month-old fetus were found in a shallow grave near Lorien's home close to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Cesar Lorien now awaiting extradition in Michoacan, Mexico. 3,000 American Airlines flights canceled this week. CBS's Nancy Cordes tells us what the analysts are telling her.
There are a lot of aviation experts out there who will say it did not have to happen this way. These inspections and fixes did not have to take place so immediately that you canceled 3,000 flights. They could have been done overnight over a period of days or even weeks. They say it's important to follow the FAA's directives, but that in this case, there really was no immediate safety concern.
American expected to lose at least $10 million due to the cancellations. Even worse conditions for Frontier Airlines today, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Tornado reported in Tennessee this afternoon. WTVF reporter Phil Jones looking at the damage.
The emergency management tells me that the tornado had about a 100-yard path. It was a very narrow tornado, but a very destructive one. We have about a 15 to 18-mile path of damage here through Lawrence County.
At least 5 injuries, no deaths reported. More frequent drug testing for more baseball players, part of the new agreement between owners and players. Rob Manfred with Baseball Executive VP of Labor Relations.
Every single recommendation relevant to the program, we have made a change that addresses each of those recommendations.
Major League Baseball ignoring the advice of the George Mitchell probe and the World Anti-Doping Agency. Instead of bringing in an outside agency, the drug testing will be done by Major League Baseball. In Buenos Aires today,
uno de nuestros hombres olímpicos.
80 runners relaying the Olympic torch. Reporter Brian Burns is there.
Thousands and thousands of Argentines are lining the city streets and watching from windows in office buildings. They're here to see this historic day. It's the first time that the Olympic torch has made its way through their city. There were people in the crowd holding signs that read Free Tibet, but most people seem to be supportive of the relay. The ones that I spoke to said that they thought politics and sports should remain separate.
This is CBS News.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or over-watering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
Do you text? It's a skill being picked up by more and more people of a certain age.
OMG, look at this. A new twist on texting. We're used to parents complaining about it.
WAU, your cell phone bill is what's up. All this texting.
But in the past 2 years, texting by the 45 to 54 age group is up 130%, with moms driving most of the growth. For teens, it's up just 41%, according to a marketing firm. And Data Services is a cell phone company's BFF, with that revenue topping $20 billion alone last year. To get more parents into texting plans, some carriers now offer a text lingo guide. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Changes coming to Cuba, where thousands will be able to get title to state-owned homes, leading to actual home ownership. First legal decree formally published since Raul Castro succeeded his brother Fidel as the president comes a day after the government said it will also do away with wage limits and incentive to productivity. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your GPS.
Turn right at Elm Street.
No, I'm pretty sure I go straight.
Turn right at Elm Street.
I don't want to turn right. I'm going to my Ford Lincoln Mercury dealer for service, and it's up ahead on the left.
Passing Elm. Oh. Make U-turn.
Look, GPS.
Don't take that tone with me.
Excuse me?
Do you have something against Elm Street?
No, I just...
Allergies, maybe.
No.
Old girlfriend lived there.
No, it has nothing to do with...
It's a perfectly fine street with lots of...
Elm trees, yeah, I get it. Look, my dealer knows what my car needs, like a set of tires or maybe a new GPS system.
That was uncalled for.
If you need tires, wheels, or other accessories, use the Genuine Service credit card, and you can buy now and pay later. Ask about the card at your dealership.
Well, we're in, we're out, and we're on our way. Where to now?
I hear Elm is nice.
I've heard that, too.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. See participating dealership for details through 531-08.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We launch into a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes into the hour. I am your humble host, and I'm delighted to be here. Otherwise, I'd be in therapy, and that's so expensive. On our program today, we're going to talk about the news and stay in the course. Robert Perry from Consortium News will join us in a moment. Dave Zirin is a commentator who had some interesting remarks about the hide-and-seek game that we played with the Olympic torch in San Francisco just the other day. He'll be with us later this hour. Also on today's program, John Amato. He's the proprietor of a great website called crooksandliars.com. It's commentary and video and stuff. We'll talk about the New York Times Magazine profile of Chris Matthews, which will appear this Sunday. I'll get to read it next Wednesday after Kathy's finished the puzzle. And a fresh, very fresh freshman member of Congress, Jackie Speer from the San Francisco area, just got elected in a special on Tuesday, gave a powerful speech on the House floor against the war on Thursday. We'll try to give you an excerpt for that. Also, the salmon run off the coast of California has been canceled for this year. Just not enough critters to justify it. And global warming could be a contributor. Stephen Saunders will be with us from the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization. He's just published a report saying that the West is the region of our country most affected by climate change. And as usual, Brad Friedman on board for our third and final hour, taking a look at election protection issues. And there are a couple of takeover attempts in the electronic voting industry, the voting machine industry. And Brad has an excellent, lengthy article about it up on bradblog.com. If you got time, read it before. But if not, he'll tell you the details when he joins us about 2 hours away. You can call in and talk with us, because this is a two-way talk show, and we pay for the call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My personal email is yours, peter@peterbcollins.com. I love to hear from listeners, pro or con, and people often pass along good ideas for topics and guests to the program. You can catch our show, too, on phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. If you got a fancy cell phone or wireless device, we can feed it with elements of the Peter B. Collins Show. Just log on there and check it out. It's all free. Our program today is sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book about Reverend Moon in the Washington Times called Bad Moon Rising. And if you haven't been there yet, get on the web and go to kingofamerica.com. There's a powerful video there, 15 minutes or so long, that'll give you an updated look at Reverend Moon and his cronies in the Bush family and the Republican Party in general. Robert Perry, a longtime journalist based in Washington, D.C., returns to our program today. He publishes frequently at his own website, consortiumnews.com. His most recent book, co-authored with two of his sons, is called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob Perry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
We got our glitches fixed, and so last week was a little distracting. As you and I were talking, I was trying to figure out a bunch of things and actually fix a gizmo that couldn't be fixed. But we're back on track, and I got a new box in that I get to work on this weekend to get us all back up to 100%. But, Bob, I wanted to talk about the events in Washington this week. And in particular, the media has not really given credit to a Democratic victory, because John Boehner, the minority leader in the House, conceded defeat on FISA this week. And he announced that, we're going to work on the economy. And this is an amazing turnabout, and I give the Democrats credit, and I say this because I'm going to criticize them pretty harshly in a minute here, but on FISA, I give the House Democrats credit for resisting the intimidation, and for the first time they went on a recess and didn't cave in on a critical bill for the Bush administration. And at that time, right before the congressional Easter recess, we heard Cheney and Bush saying that the sky's going to fall and Osama's going to bomb us, and God, if you take away our wiretapping, where are we going to be? And suddenly, it's not a high priority.
Well, clearly there's a loss of credibility on the part of the Bush administration at this point. Fewer and fewer Americans believe what they're being told, and we obviously have seen that many of the sky's falling predictions don't happen. And the Democrats did, on the House side anyway, did stand up on this issue of giving immunity to the telecom companies, which had cooperated with the White House, with the National Security Agency, in grabbing people's phone conversations and emails without the proper court warrant. And the idea that they were supposed to get immunity, which is what the Bush administration wanted, was something the Senate Democrats did cave in on, but yeah, the House Democrats didn't. And if a bill can't get through both houses, that means it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And so I give them credit for that. The corporate media has not really taken the opportunity to convey that. I found it buried in the progress report yesterday at the Center for American Progress. Also, there is a better publicized victory over the Columbia trade bill. And this, of course, is a controversial piece that's gotten in the presidential campaign. Hillary Clinton demoted or did something to Mark Penn. And then we found out that Howard Wolfson, who is supposed to step up into Mark Penn's shoes, his consulting firm is only getting $30,000 a month from the Colombian government to push the trade deal. And Bill Clinton has accepted $800,000 in speaking fees related to groups that support this Colombia free trade bill. And so Hillary's kind of isolated in her opposition to it, or at least that's what she says right now for consumption in Pennsylvania. And Nancy Pelosi basically took it off the table by changing the rules of fast track for approval of a treaty of this nature. And now she says that she's going to try to use that leverage to work on the president. But here's my criticism, Bob, and that is we saw the president on Thursday night basically say nothing's going to change in Iraq. He offered this phony fig leaf to the troops about cutting tours back to 12 from 15 months, but not one soldier currently in Iraq will benefit from that change. It doesn't take effect except for troops shipped out after August 1st. And the Democratic response to the president's speech was simply to say, well, finally he adopted our plan to require that the troops have to be home for a year after they've been in combat for a year. But they don't talk about blocking his demand for another $100+ billion for the war.
Right. It seems that they've pretty much given in on that very important element. And this has been a problem I've raised about the Democrats a number of times. And it goes back to this Carl Levin theory, Senator Levin, who is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who has been, who was a person who opposed the war from the beginning. One has to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
But when he took over as the chairman, he announced that when push came to shove on sending more money to fight the war, that he and other Democrats would give in to the president. Then he said, well, but let's have this bill that will set timetables. But it became clear that the Republicans would either filibuster that or the president would veto it, as they have. So once that happened, and once the Democrats lacked the votes to override a veto or break a filibuster, they were left with no choice but to go back and give the president his money as another blank check. And that's what's been happening again and again, and the Democrats at this point don't even seem ready to put up much of a fight, although ironically, you're hearing more concerns about the war raised by Republicans as well as Democrats during the last testimony by General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker.
Yeah, but Voinovich and Lugar aren't going to vote with the Democrats. They'll make some critical remarks, but they will not put their votes on the same line.
If the Democrats ever count on the so-called moderate Republicans to vote against this president, they're foolish. I've covered Washington for 30 years now, and it's been a pattern where you'll have Republicans who kind of know better, people like a Nancy Kassebaum, a former senator from Kansas,
right.
People of that type who are smart people who kind of knew what was the right thing to do in relation, say, to Central America back in the 80s. But when push came to shove, they would line up with President Reagan then, now and President Bush these days. So I think the Democrats can't count on that, even when they think they have people on their side, like Senator Warner was supporting at one point Senator Webb's bill regarding this the 12 months on, 12 months off for the troops, and then pull the rug out from under Webb at the last minute several months ago.
That's
when
correct.
That issue was up. So you have so whenever it gets closed, those Republicans will go with the president. They'll maybe allow a few Republicans who are in tough seats to vote against the president, but they don't really do anything that hurts.
Well, an example of that, we talked to a former Republican, former Senator Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island the other day, and he was in that very boat you described. In 2006, they let him cast some votes against the administration because they wanted to save his seat. But very few of those hall passes have been issued by Bush and Cheney over the past few years. Bob, I want to come back to your comment about Senator Levin of Michigan, because he gave an interview that I heard on the Ed Schultz show the other day, and he flatly said that the Democrats are not going to try any of the maneuvers that they attempted last year, and he's given up. He said they simply don't have the votes. And he and others continue to use the framing and language of the Bush administration that this is all about funding the troops. But the House has got to stand firm and not appropriate every dime asked for. I believe they should give Bush 25 or maybe 50 billion of the 100 billion he's asked for, tell him to take it or leave it, and by the way, use it to leave Iraq.
Well, that is the option they could have followed. And if they were to do that, and it's a very important point, that if a positive vote is required to get that money through, then all you need is a majority in one of the houses to stop it, or even 41 votes in the Senate to filibuster it.
Mm-hmm.
So the power does rest with the Democrats if they wanted to use it.
Yeah, we're going to return with Robert Perry in just a moment. You got a question or comment? Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Grab a podcast, send it to a friend. Link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk about the Olympic torch and what they did with it in San Francisco. We continue now with Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. Log on to their website and check it out. A lot of good information there. And they're doing a fundraiser right now. And maybe you're in a position to take your stimulus check and peel off $100 and send it to ConsortiumNews.com. I think it would stimulate more than, say, a shopping spree at Target. What do you think, Bob?
Well, it would certainly be a big help for us. We're also, for $100, you can get an autographed copy of our last book, Neck Deep. Mm-hmm. As a gift, so that's an incentive.
All right, good. Bob, you having problems getting your Washington Post delivered? I mean, they throw it in the bushes or under the sprinkler. You seem to have a little level of pique and vexation against the newspaper of record there inside the Beltway.
Well, the amazing thing about the Washington Post is not only has its editorial page been virtually entirely wrong on the whole Iraq war, going back to the beginning when they bought into the WMD with absolute certainty, when they essentially mocked anybody who had any doubts or second thoughts, like an Al Gore. They were enthusiastic about the invasion and what happened. They were every turning point. They've been on the sidelines as cheerleaders. Yet they also, they keep acting as if they've got nothing wrong, and they keep treating people who may have some different points of view with disdain. It's a stunning performance by a major newspaper.
And give us an example of how they treated the theater of Petraeus and Crocker this week.
Well, they basically were saying that there's no question now that the Surge has been a resounding success. They noted that last September when Crocker and Petraeus were there before, it was just so remarkable how great things were, but people still weren't fully on board. But now it's quite clear that it really was as great as people might have thought it was. And they're putting down some of the Democrats in particular who continue to have some resistance to marching in lockstep, who still saw the Surge as not the grand success that the Washington Post and the Bush administration feel that it was.
Well, and Bob, this is a critical issue because we've talked about this, and certainly there has been a reduction in the loss of American lives. It's spiking back up right now, but if you take a narrow snapshot from July of 07 to the end of the year, yes, things got a little bit better. But it's by no means the smashing success the Republicans make it out to be. And between Lindsey Graham and some of these Republican members of Congress who just flatly say that the Surge has worked, I find Democrats don't have a media to turn to say, well, look, an independent analysis by the Washington Post shows that the Surge didn't really work and that other factors contributed to the reduction in violence much more than the addition of 30,000 American troops.
Well, some of the news columns in the Washington Post have made some of those points, as you could find in the New York Times as well. That because of the ceasefire that was declared unilaterally by Sadr with his militia, with the U.S. paying off some of the Sunni tribesmen not to shoot at Americans, that worked a bit.
Only 90,000 of them are being paid.
Right, but still the point is that all that really was obtained from the Surge was essentially a year of staying the course with a bit less violence than there was in the previous year. And now as we see those gains are extremely fragile. They have begun to fall apart because of now intra-Shiite rivalries beyond the Shiites Sunni rivalries and the various other kinds of rivalries you find in a place like Iraq. And the United States is there essentially managing this for the foreseeable future. And that's the point many of us tried to make, that what this was really looking toward was an open-ended commitment that would continue to have tremendous loss of life, not just with the Americans, we're now up to over 4,000 American dead, but also with the Iraqis who have lost, some estimates are in the hundreds of thousands of people dead and lives ruined plus vast fortunes of U.S. taxpayers' dollars lost. So the Surge really was a way to keep this thing going. It was a new way to put a new face on it for a while.
And the real success of the Surge is on the propaganda front, because it was inserted into our messaging systems. It was left unchallenged, and now it's accepted conventional wisdom. Sure, the Surge worked.
Right, and all it really means is that the American troops will stay in Iraq for the foreseeable future, at least until there's some change in the U.S. government. And that is not what I think most Americans were looking for in terms of having the Surge work. They were thinking the Surge would work and American troops could come home. There was that PR line that Bush was using, return on success. Well, there's been this success supposedly, but they're not really returning. In fact, the numbers will now be about 140,000 troops there, and it was 132,000. When the Democrats won control of Congress back in November of 2006. So what you're not seeing is what most Americans would regard as victory and success, which is to bring these troops home. There's going to be left there indefinitely, apparently. And nobody
managed to penetrate the circular logic advanced by Petraeus and Crocker, that things are getting better, so we got to stay, and things could get worse, so we got to stay.
All right. It all makes sense, Peter.
It's really maddening, and I find it a little depressing, frankly, Bob. Well, thank you for
That's why the Post has been on my enemies list here for a while.
All right. Thanks for your comments today. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Robert Perry, visit the website consortiumnews.com. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized expertise of Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. In a moment, meet Wendy Booker, a woman with multiple sclerosis who is planning to climb to the summit of the highest mountain on every continent in the world. Her story, after this. No one walks out on the African grasslands one afternoon and says, this is where I'll put a telecom system. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends will mean for them so they can supply customers with cutting-edge technologies to create a modern wireless network across the vast African plain. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Another Masters moment. It's 1986 and Jack Nicklaus answers his critics and returns to the leaderboard at the age of 46. At the par 3 16th, Jack fires an iron at the flag. He never looked up, just bent down, retrieved his tee, and smiled. The ball nestled 4 feet from the pin, a moment no one will ever forget.
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group knows that success means hanging in there even when everyone thinks it's impossible. RBS, make it happen.
It was after she was diagnosed with MS, a progressive disease of the central nervous system that attacks the nerves in the brain and spinal cord, that Wendy Booker decided to run in the Boston Marathon.
I used to think about MS every step of the way. I was so focused on, I'm going to fall or I'm going to get too tired. Then I started realizing that, wow, I just ran a quarter of a mile and I didn't think about my illness. And that quarter of a mile became a half a mile and then a mile and lo and behold, 26.2 miles.
Wendy says there's benefit to be gained by being physically and mentally active. And not wanting to wallow in her illness, she took up mountain climbing, moved to Colorado, and started training for this ambitious effort to climb the highest mountain on every continent.
I've decided if I really was going to be serious, and Everest is in my near future now, I had to be serious and I had to really work at it at a higher level, literally and figuratively.
Our Seth Doan went hiking with Wendy for our TV broadcast this Sunday morning.
You really have to manage your MS every day.
Every day.
Even when you're climbing.
I manage it through diet, exercise, and I take a daily injection. And that, too, is a challenge. You take a drug up to a mountain, and I make a point of saying, you know, if I can inject up here at 20,000 feet on the glacier, it's something easily managed when you're down back in the comfort of your own home.
Wendy Booker also visits schools to tell her story. We found out about her from a fourth grader.
From Wendy, I learned that, like, if you give up on something, you can't give up on it. Like, you have to keep on trying. You have to climb your own mountain.
We'll introduce you to Wendy when I see you on CBS television this Sunday morning. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I cannot recall
have a rule here, one song at a time. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we want to talk about the Olympic torch run that was badly mangled in San Francisco this week. So I went to my iTunes and just put the word run in there. And that's the name of this song by New Order. But it also gives me this one, which is more like what the torch run was in San Francisco. This is The Ventures from 1964, and it's called Walk, Don't Run. Dave Zirin joins me now. He wrote a column, an op-ed, in the San Francisco Chronicle in Thursday's paper. And he writes at a website called edgeofsports.com about sports and the deeper issues that come up around sporting and the professional sport industries. Dave Zirin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
You have any favorite Run songs?
Well, I was thinking about it. Run isn't in the title, but I was thinking of that Talking Head song, Psycho Killer, Keska's Day. Better run, 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 run.
Right.
Day.
Oh, that's a good one. I might have that. Let's just check here.
Yeah. And that's especially a good one. Psycho Killer, Keska Say, like, cause that's a song about sort of befuddlement at when tragedy becomes farce, and I think that fits the torch run very well.
Yeah, yeah. And I have such mixed feelings about this, Dave. I don't know your politics. This is the first time we've talked, but I'm a lefty. I'm opposed to the regime in Beijing and the human rights violations. I don't like our trade deficit with China and the way they hold so much of our debt. I don't like what they've done to Tibet. And at the same time, I feel that Bush has damaged our international reputation to the point that we don't have any standing to lecture Beijing and say, gosh, your human rights violations, gosh, you're occupying a neighboring country. It's pretty easy for them to go neener, neener all over us, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And that's an important distinction to make, is that I believe that it's very important as we talk about protesting the Olympics, protesting the torch, that it not become an exercise in China bashing. Because, as you said, I mean, I think the real struggle here really does begin at home, and it begins when we look in the mirror or look directly into the rather twisted face of our own government these days.
Yeah.
But that being said, the torch run wasn't just about people engaging in China bashing. It wasn't just about the United States leading it. I mean, this was really led, first of all, by the people of Tibet protesting China,
yeah,
and then China's brutal crackdown. So it starts in Tibet, not the United States.
And the people in Tibet, the monks in particular, they're putting their lives on the line. This is not just a weekend waltz down Market Street in San Francisco with a protest sign.
No, that's right. And then when the torch made its march, the big protest really began, as I know you know, in places like Athens, France, Great Britain. Today it was in Buenos Aires. And so San Francisco, I think you guys should really proudly see yourselves much more as a link in an international chain. And keep in mind, when people are out there protesting in the Bay, you're also protesting our own government, because without the complicity of the West, Beijing never gets the Olympics in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And when China started mowing down the Buddhists in Lhasa, and school children as well in Lhasa, the gut instinct of the Bush administration was not to say, this is an outrage, China stop. Their gut instinct was to say, the Olympics must go on. So it's really been the West that has so closely tied the Olympics with this idea of making China an acceptable part of the community of nations.
Well, and we have to look at the history here too, Dave, because, up until the mid-90s, there was an annual struggle over most favored nation status, and Nancy Pelosi was just a member of Congress from San Francisco at the time, but it was a signature issue for her, and every year she led the charge to try to deny renewal of most favored nation status to China, while demanding that they improve their human rights and record on democracy. That some of those actions came right after Tiananmen Square. And so there's a history here, but it was Bill Clinton who said, oh, constructive engagement. engagement, mm-hmm. we will have more impact on humanizing and westernizing China by engaging in trade and essentially, you know, getting them into the capitalist system and away from communism. But there's a very mixed bag there, and I mention that because we have bipartisan responsibility for the very awkward and complex relationship we have with China today.
No, absolutely, and I think that was an act of just bald-faced hypocrisy to hear Hillary Clinton come out front and speak about the need for Bush to boycott the opening ceremonies, because I guarantee if she was president, based on her record, she wouldn't boycott those ceremonies. And certainly Bill Clinton, who currently says that he doesn't think Bush should boycott the ceremonies, nor would he have. It was also the United States that pushed for China to enter the WTO. I mean, this was a big push in the 1990s, which was to really change China from what was really a state-run Stalinist enterprise to what exists now, which is market Stalinism. I mean, everything about the free market is in there. Western corporations are all over the place. Huge cities are going up overnight. But at the same time, there is the denial of basic human rights. And interestingly, last year, I think it was 2 years ago, China was making an effort to try to relax some of the labor standards in the country and allow more influence of independent trade unions. And it was actually Western corporate leaders who made the journey around the world to tell China, if you enact these reforms, you can forget about our capital flowing into the country.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you're pretty sharp for a guy who writes about sports.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. Although, frankly, the bar is kind of low. So I don't know.
Well, let me just confess. I had four brothers, and they used to fight over the sports page at the breakfast table, and I let them. And I'm interested in news and politics, and I don't focus that much on sports. And I love it when there are people who are very well-versed in sports, don't stop there, and you know, have enthusiasm for many other issues. And I'm looking at your bio here. You've got a book out called Welcome to the Terror Dome. I've seen some of your columns up at edgeofsports.com, and they intrigue me because you're going beyond winners and losers and what you do different out there today to...
Right.
Really look at the implications of sports and sporting.
Well, that's what makes this last week or two very interesting, because it started the debate about, well, are people who are protesting in San Francisco and in Europe and Argentina and Tibet, are they trying to mix sports with politics? Are they breaking down that all-important wall that should be held sacrosanct? Sports should be in its sphere. Politics should be in its sphere. The Olympics should not be political. I mean, you've heard that drum hit very hard from the Bush administration through the European Union. But what's so interesting, though, is I think the protests have exposed the fact that the mere fact that the Olympics are in Beijing in the first place is a political act. That was politics. And that opens up a very nasty can of worms about the way I think China really has become the banker for the West. They're underwriting the war in Iraq, and the Olympics in a lot of ways is a quid pro quo thank you by the West for what China has done to prop up the economies of this side of the hemisphere.
And is there a direct figure about the benefit to Beijing in dollar terms, about the money that they've extracted for the sponsorships, the television rights, and those sorts of things? This is a $3 or $4 billion enterprise for the Chinese?
Well, $3 or $4 billion. I mean, that's just the TV rights alone. I mean, it gets up there into the. I think it gets up there very comfortably into what you might call like ten figures in mm-hmm. terms of what they could be looking at as a country. Did I get that right? I was trying to do the math. No, 11 figures, like the tens of billions of dollars. Sorry
okay.
about that.
Uh-huh.
I know sports and politics, but not math. but what's so interesting, though, too, is that what China has done, I mean, you talk about the cost, the cost to the Chinese people. I mean, 2 million people have been displaced to make way for Olympic facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crackdown on civil disobedience. One of the things I wrote in a previous column a few weeks ago is that right after China started its crackdown on Tibet, is that the crackdown is better understood not as so much of a Chinese problem, but really as an Olympic problem, because there is a very unproud and ugly history of crackdowns happening in countries, whether you're talking about Atlanta 1996 or LA 84. And of course, the worst example is Mexico City in 1968,
mm-hmm.
where you have these brutal crackdowns on civil liberties, brutal crackdowns on dissent, in order to send a message to the country, a shock message to the country, that there will be no embarrassment on the international stage stood for.
Yeah. So where are you based, Dave?
D.C. area.
All right. This is Dave Zirin, by the way, with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to call in, we welcome your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. So what is your perspective on the way San Francisco managed or mismanaged the torch run? We are now learning that our police chief, Heather Fawn, got incorrect information. You may know the sequence of events here. They started near the Giants ballpark at a place called McCovey Cove. And then the torch runner held it up and ran into a warehouse and disappeared. And many of the spectators there thought that a bus that started to pull away moments later, which had markings indicating it was part of the Chinese contingent, was actually carrying the torch. So they surrounded it. And an erroneous report went to the police chief that that bus had actually run over some of the protesters. And that's what she says caused her to change the route and cancel the ending ceremony where thousands of people had gathered to witness it.
Wow. I mean, it's, you asked me what the, about assessing San Francisco's reaction. You got to say there's the reaction, to separate it from the reaction of the city to the reaction of the citizens themselves. I mean, the city, I mean, it was just an absolute farce. I mean, this was planes, trains, and automobiles come to the Olympics. I mean, this is like, I mean, it was like a bad John Candy movie from the 80s. Like, where do we do with the torch? What do we do with the torch? I mean, just total Laurel and Hardy stuff by the aforementioned Mr. Newsom.
Ah, but Dave, we demonstrated that our cops are not all overweight from too many donuts. They can run alongside the torch.
That is true. That is true. They got some fit young men and women to do the run.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, I mean, I thought the actions by the people of San Francisco were exemplary. I mean, people should know. I can understand why some people might say, and I actually respect very much why people might say, well, what's the point of this protest? Who are we in the United States to point the finger at anybody else? But I think if the people of San Francisco, if you see yourself as a link in a chain of an international protest that isn't just about putting the spotlight on China, but also putting a spotlight on the West, people in San Francisco, the few thousand who came out, have to realize that they have helped spur an international debate, and a debate that, frankly, is years in the making.
Yeah. Well, and I think people here behave very well. There were a lot of pro-Chinese protesters, or I don't know if you call them protesters, but activists, demonstrators, who were bussed in. And reporters indicated to me that they were very hard-line, very aggressive, somewhat confrontational with those who were offering pro-peace messages about Tibet. So I'm glad that it didn't devolve into a confrontation. I think there were only three people arrested.
Right.
We're going to take a break and return with Dave Zirin. I couldn't find the talking head, but I got Tom Petty.
Oh, great song.
This is Running Down a Dream.
Sunday down at the radio wall, I was driving. Trees went by.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown. I'm inviting you to join me for a poetry reading I'm giving to support this show of my poems of 30 years called Fat Lady Flying. Me, a quivering wreck, getting on a plane, yet hoping futilely to get the part of Peter Pan or the Witch and Wizard of Oz, too plump to hoist into the harness. I release my inner witch and invite you to come fly with me April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Cherry Center in Carmel, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, 2 Sunday matinee, right after our show here. I told my 5-year-old son and mom, if you promise to let me write this down, I will buy you an ice cream. Well, if you come, I'll buy you ice cream and a chapbook of this poem, which you will see enacted before your eyes with blue songs by Anne Marie Hunter. Go to Ticket Guys online or call the Cherry Center in Carmel, 624-7491. That's 624-7491. And I'll see you on stage, on the page, and right here, Sundays, making the morning last.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. The paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online.
AllEachronic.com.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, cycling through our songs with Run in the title or the lyrics. Talking about the Olympic torch run. Actually, it's the precursor of a new Olympic event called Hide the Torch. Came to San Francisco the other day.
Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself.
Oh, let's get to the chorus. But it was.
But it was just my imagination.
Well, thanks to the Temptations. I knew they could spit it out. Dave Zirin is with us. He's a sports writer for Sports Illustrated on their website, SI.com. He writes for The Progressive, our friend Matthew Rothschild. He's a contributor to The Nation magazine, and he's got a satellite radio show on XM called The Edge of Sports. When's that on, Dave?
Oh, it's on Saturdays and Sundays. Saturdays at, noon, and Sundays at 2.
Those Eastern times?
Those are Eastern times.
All right, so
9 and 11.
9 and 11. And what channel?
167.
167 on XM. I'll have to check you out.
Please do.
How long have you been doing that?
We just taped the 8th show today.
All right. Well, good on you. I'm glad to hear that. Let's take some calls here. Dave in Eureka, welcome to the program.
Hey, Peter. I've given you a break from me for a week. I've been down in San Francisco where your program is delayed a bit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were here spending some money because we need it.
Well, I wanted to let you know, I agree with the thought, who are we to be protesting any other country's misuse of their powers? I mean, who are we to do that? This doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't compute to
well,
me.
This is where I differentiate because I think as citizens, we have every right and that citizens of the world should not confuse my individual expression with the blunders of George W. Bush. At the same time, I think that as a nation, we have to look at how this is going to be perceived. And frankly, I would look for how the way politicians do it. We need to find surrogates. We need to get the Canadians and the French to speak up on these issues because we don't got no cred.
Yeah, well, I'm not complaining about you and I protesting for sure. I am just saying, who is this country that is so abusing their government powers to do that? And I have another thought, and that is it becomes very clear, and I was able to see some of it down there and all of it on TV, that this country, this government, doesn't like people asserting powers, people standing up, protesting anything. They just don't like it, and they'll throw guards every which way they can to prevent it.
Dave Zirin?
No, that's a very good point. I mean, on the first point, I feel what you're saying. When I see Hillary Clinton or John McCain say, well, what China is doing is an outrage. We shouldn't be at the opening ceremonies in Beijing. I think to myself, wow, you have a lot of nerve to say that.
I agree.
So I'm with you there 100%. When it comes to the protesters themselves, I really do think that part of protesting the torch, as long as people are politically clear about it, isn't about China bashing, as I said before, but is also about protesting the West, protesting the Bush administration and the way that they've elevated the Olympics over the lives of the people of Tibet. And so to me, that's a very worthy thing to protest.
Yeah, and I leave it up to our players, the athletes who will be competing at the Olympics, but they may want to send messages, perhaps, you know, write things on their gas masks.
Yeah, their gas masks, exactly.
Dave and Eureka, thanks for the call. Dave Zirin, in the commentary that you published in the San Francisco Chronicle the other day, you noted that the first torch run was a brainchild of Dr. Carl Diem, the organizer of Adolf Hitler's 1936 Olympics in Berlin. He convinced Joseph Goebbels that 3,400 young Aryan runners should be carrying torches along a route from the Temple of Hera in Greece to the stadium in Berlin. So it has a bit of a checkered history.
A noxious history, yes. Because it wasn't even about promoting the Olympics when Carl Diem thought of this, but it was explicitly about promoting Nazi Germany and about using the Olympics to do that. If you look at where they even ran the torch, they specifically went through places that Germany wanted to conquer, that they saw as part of the larger Germany, as they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called, Liebstrom or something like that was the word for it, for larger Germany?
I don't remember that. There was a special
word they had.
Uber-Reich or something, yeah.
Yeah, that implied like a larger Germany. And so they ran through Austria, they ran through Central and Southern Europe, and in some of those places, after the run, would be accompanied by huge Nazi rallies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is the history of it in and of itself, to me, makes protesting it a good idea, no matter where the Olympics are.
Sandra, in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dave Zirin.
Hi, Peter. Dave, you know, I'm a big fan, especially since I read your article about South Bend, when you made the connection about how Notre Dame is just being supported by football and the rest of the place is going to hell. I just thought, my God, the analysis is fantastic. So I really appreciate your writing. But about the protest, isn't the Olympics fairly corrupt anyway? And to have like this...
Oh, Sandra,
this
how can you say that?
The government sponsoring it? It's
Sandra,
so disgusting. Anyway,
Sandra.
The torch disappeared. I thought, well, that's funny.
Sandra,
right.
Sandra, I'm trying to talk back to you. Mitt Romney cleaned up the Olympics once and for all. You don't remember that?
Oh, the whole enterprise is so seedy. And it's just, listen to the Chinese lecture the world about how they should this and that. It's just a parody. I love the protesting, but you know I can't take it seriously. But to you, Dave, wonderful writing, and see you, Peter.
Okay, thanks, Sandra. A reaction,
Thank you,
Dave?
Sandra. Sandra makes an important point because there are certain things that we talked before about wherever the Olympics go, a crackdown on civil liberties and also a crackdown on the poor always seems to follow. Another thing that follows the Olympics is the bankrupting of municipalities,
yeah.
Sending countries into terrible debt. And just utter corporate gouging of mm-hmm. a given community. And that's one of the things that made Mitt Romney so good an Olympic organizer.
Billy in Capitola, go right ahead.
Gentlemen, if I had to wait for my country, the administration, to exhibit good behavior, I would never be able to speak again, or in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So as Peter says... We can't walk away from our rights to criticize others because we're screwed up. What we should do at least, though, of course, is be at least as hard on our administration and what we're doing wrong as we are complaining about others. And that's what we ought to ask ourselves.
Oh, we might be a little uncomfortable about that, Billy.
Oh, well, why not?
Yeah.
All right.
Dave, your comment?
Just Billy's. I couldn't agree with Billy more. I mean, it's just that's absolutely correct, and that's just why, I mean, I've said this, and I believe this very strongly, is that when people go out to protest, they need to be very clear to the media and to people around them exactly what it is they're out there protesting. Because there are people on the far right who have, I mean, a representative from Michigan, Thaddeus something or other, I forget his last name, wrote a column saying, George W. Bush is coddling communist China.
I mean, can't we complain about all occupations?
That would be nice.
There you go.
All
that
right.
Would be nice.
Billy, thanks.
You're absolutely right, Billy.
Dave, great to talk with you. I really enjoyed this, and we have to do it again.
Oh, anytime, Peter.
Edgeofsports.com is the website where you can find out more about Dave Zirin and check out the article about the new stadium in Washington, D.C. I took a drive by there on my last visit. And for a bankrupt city to build a monument for a professional sports team. Oh, gosh, it just reminded me of Al Davis. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks.
Good to talk with you. Coming up next, John Amato from Crooks and Liars. We're going to take a look at what's on the blog. Lindsey Graham, Chris Matthews, and fresh freshman Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another day of canceled flights, but was this really necessary?
This is an outrageous stunt by the FAA to look tough.
In the Florida video beating backlash against the families.
I've gotten over 300 phone calls, death threats.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. American Airlines, which canceled nearly 600 flights today, says about 200 are off the schedule tomorrow, but by Sunday it hopes to return to normal. A 250,000 passengers have been inconvenienced, and the disruption is costing the carrier a fortune. But industry consultant Mike Boyd says it didn't have to be this way. He claims the wiring on MD-80 jets could have been fixed over time.
This is not a safety issue. This is a new FAA administrator appointed by Bush who's trying to look tough at the expense of the flying public, not at the expense of safety.
More from CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The FAA argues that this was, in fact, an important safety consideration, that American Airlines had to follow the directives and follow them to the letter. But many aviation experts say the FAA has not been as much of a stickler in the past, that this situation in particular was not an immediate safety concern, and that measures could have been taken so that these inspections took place over weeks instead of days. He didn't have 250,000 people left stranded.
White House spokesman Scott Stanzel defended the FAA today, but he used a curious choice of words.
Right now, we have a very safe airline transportation system. That is not by accident.
Now this.
All right, so what do I do here? Okay.
Break down, make sure it's in neutral.
Okay.
And just, there you go.
Oh, wow.
All right, throttle. Slippery first.
It's time to go full throttle.
Good.
Yeah, stay in our yard.
Now through April 23rd at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on qualifying tractor purchases when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. Brands like John Deere, Toro, and Cub Cadet. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Frontier Airlines has become the fourth U.S. carrier in recent weeks to file for bankruptcy, but it will keep flying while it reorganizes.
Frontier is conducting normal operations and will honor all existing reservations as usual.
The airline blames its problems on high fuel costs and the weak economy. Court appearances in Bartow, Florida today for the eight teenagers accused in that videotaped beating of a high school classmate. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
A judge has set bail at $30,000 for the six girls and two boys. All but one are under 18, but they will all be tried as adults. They face kidnapping and misdemeanor battery charges. Three are also charged with witness tampering. They could all face life in prison. If any or all of them bond out of jail, they'll be under house arrest and won't be allowed to access any internet forum sites like MySpace or YouTube.
The defendants' families say they faced hostile reaction from the community. Outside court, this mother refused to talk to reporters.
I have no comment on my daughter, I'm telling you now.
Everybody's saying that
she's facing possibly life.
We have death threats on us, okay? Leave us alone.
Hillary Clinton would rather let the controversy die, but her husband brought it up again at an Indiana campaign stop. Clinton's false claim to have arrived in Bosnia under sniper fire.
This is a big deal to her. Some of you may have seen that she took a terrible beating in the press for a few days because she was exhausted at 11 o'clock at night, and she started talking about Bosnia, and she misstated the circumstances under which she landed in Bosnia.
CBS News Director of Political Coverage Steve Chigara says the former president is not being helpful.
This isn't the first time he's said something that has created a little bit of controversy. He's done it in New Hampshire. He did it in South Carolina with the race issue, and now he's doing it again. He's bringing up a story that pretty much has not been talked about for a couple weeks. That was a negative story about her, and is now putting it back into the spotlight.
To make matters worse, Bill Clinton's claim that his tired wife made a mistake at 11 p.m. is wrong. The senator told the story repeatedly, once at 9 a.m. after a day off. Today, according to the former president, his wife told him to let her handle it, and he said, "Yes, ma'am." In Buenos Aires today,
La Antorcha Olímpica.
The Olympic torch was relayed unscathed through the streets of the Argentine capital. Runners were surrounded by security while groups of pro- and anti-Chinese demonstrators were fenced off. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or overwatering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's time for another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you ready? Helmets on, seatbelts fastened, cell phones muted.
Buying and selling your history. How we go about it is no mystery.
Now, I am personally devastated because I love fresh salmon. I don't eat the farmed crap. It's got PCBs in it, not PBCs. Later this hour, we're going to tell you the sad news that the West Coast salmon season has been canceled. And Stephen Saunders will join us to see if there's a link to global warming.
West H-O-B-B-I-N-G.
And right now, John Amato returns to our program, proprietor of the website crooksandliars.com. And log on there. It's A-N-D. Don't use the ampersand. crooksandliars.com. It's a great collection of commentary, video, and some music stuff, too. Hi, John.
Hey, Mr. Peter. What's happening, brother?
I'm doing okay today. And you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just getting ready for some, we were talking earlier, a little sports action tonight, a little hockey, a little Yankees, Red Sox, and I'm just watching Jackie Spear get booed by the crazy Republicans in Congress.
Again? Because there's a clip up. I was going to play a little snippet of that later. Did she get booed 2 days in a row?
No, I was just rewatching it because it's always interesting watching children in Congress, and that's what we have. We have children.
Well, we'll talk about a kid named Lindsay in a moment, and also a loudmouth on television named Chris Matthews. But first, I want to get to the really important stuff from Crooks and Liars, because I go there a couple of times a week, and I really dig what you do in your late-night music posts. And I wanted to talk a minute about Tommy Bolin.
Tommy Bolin.
Because he was the guitarist who replaced Joe Walsh in the James Gang.
Yeah.
He went on to do some great solo work. He worked with Billy Cobham, and you had a great video up the other night with a Billy Cobham-Tommy Bolin collaboration. And then he went to Miami, got some great heroin, and overdosed.
Well, actually, he joined Deep Purple, and I'm good friends with Glenn Hughes, who joined the band. It sort of broke up and came when they came out with that album Burn. And you know, it's funny because when I played with Glenn, Deep Purple was, I believe, it was the first rock concert I ever went to. Hmm. And Savoy Brown opened up.
Ooh,
and it was,
Kim Simmons.
Right, it was Deep Purple, and I was all psyched for the new record. Now here I'm playing with Glenn Hughes and Ronnie Montrose, and we were talking about that concert, and he just said how, how Bolin was, they became fast friends, and he told me he didn't do heroin all that long. I'm not sure, but it was such a tragic waste. And Tommy Bolin has the most incredible sound, and I guess just the feel, you know, for him to play with Billy Cobham. The record, the clip that I have up is one of my favorite all time records and all time songs, and it's called Spectrum, and there's this groove, and I don't know how Billy Cobham picked him, because he comes out of that Mahavishnu world, and he comes out of that jazz world.
Right, yeah.
And he picks Tommy Bolin, who's a rocker, and he fits into this funk jazz fusion groove like a glove. And when I listen, I must have heard that solo 150 times. I could put it on right now and just be enthralled.
Well, when Tommy Bolin died, I was a DJ in San Jose at a somewhat legendary radio station called KOME. And I really give his passing credit for my start in the business that I have now. I help people develop radio shows and syndicate them. And after he died, I put together a one-hour special about Tommy Bolin, and I managed to get, 10 radio stations across the country to broadcast it, and I made about $225.
What year did you post that?
77.
77.
Yeah. And that's what taught me how to deal with radio stations, how to figure out how to put a show on a satellite and get people in remote locations to play it. And so not only did I love Tommy Bolin's music, but his tragic death was something that actually helped me in developing what we call a career.
Well, you know, it's interesting with certain lives how through their death it affects others in such a positive way. And, it obviously had this type of effect on you. I met his brother when I played. It was at the NAMM show, and I played with Montrose. He was, sponsoring Baker Guitars at the time. And I talked to his brother, who was, who had some of his old tapes that, for sale online, and we just talked about Tommy a lot. And again, it's such a tragic loss. We lost such great players.
And let's spell his name for people. It's Bolin.
Correct.
And if you've never heard him before, go to the used bin or your recycled CD shop or look for him online. Some of his music from Zephyr, which was an original band in the Rockies, has been re-released on CD. And I just think, he's been lost in the musical shuffle, and he's somebody who I treasure, and I think people ought to check him out if they haven't already.
He died a little too young, and he was just really exploding onto them, because Deep Purple was starting to make him a star, because when you're in that type of a band, then everybody starts to grow. But again, I mean, with Billy Cobb, I mean, he only played two tracks on that record, and they're just amazing. And that, you know, and that track that I have on my site influenced Jeff Beck, and for his great album, and he cited that record, you know, as changing him and influencing him.
Are you talking about Blow by Blow?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Freeway Jam.
Oh, man, and it all comes from the Billy Cobham album. It's just interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's get down to business now. This is fun to talk about, but crooksandliars.com, for example, has a great clip up from Lindsey Graham, and I saw him the other day just slobbering all over General Petraeus, saying, you know, if I could, I'd give you a fifth star.
There's an article in the L.A. Times, and they were making fun of his bling, you know, because he made sure he had all the, you know, and the guy was sort of analyzing all the medals and ribbons, and it's such a show.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of emails from veterans and actually military men and ex, like, special op guys that are really offended by that because they feel that he's not representing the military, he's representing the president, and he's doing them a disservice. Now, I'm not saying that, but that's what people that have served are feeling.
Mm-hmm. So let's listen to a little clip here from Lindsey Graham. What he's doing is trying to get the administration to jam through what's called a status of forces agreement with the puppet government in Baghdad so that American troops can stay there for a long, long time no matter what the next president chooses to do.
That is of much discussion. The reason I think we need to deal with that now is my understanding, the legal underpinning for our presence in Iraq is based on the UN resolution that expires in December. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So come December, the legal authority that we're basing our presence upon in Iraq, dealing with security threats and our and the ability to be there, goes back to the UN resolution. And the good news for me is that the Iraqi government is saying we want to out from Article 7, Chapter 7 of the UN. We want to be seen as a legitimate state, not a chaotic place.
Now, John, isn't he gilding the lily here? Hasn't Mr. Maliki actually said that he doesn't want to pause? He wants U.S. troops to continue withdrawing from Iraq. And here we have Lindsey Graham making it sound like the Iraqis want to move on from the UN authorization for our occupation to a, you know, direct contract with the occupier itself.
I know. It's very frustrating. They're both, half the time, they say different things. They clash. John McCain recently, misspoke and got his facts wrong when it was actually in Iran that Maliki asked Sadr to do a ceasefire. They're constantly at odds with the American government because the Iraqi people do not want U.S. forces in Iraq. They want us out of there. They take votes and saying it's okay to shoot our troops. So, for them, they need, you know, Bush needs the troops there to keep the war going so he can get out, and McCain is running on the war, so he needs the troops there so that they can keep fighting and the war can keep going. And Lindsey Graham is McCain's puppet, so he does just what he's told, and he's doing his job well in that clip.
Yeah, he certainly is. And this is something, to her credit, that Senator Clinton brought up in the conversation with Petraeus the other day, that essentially the Bush administration is trying to get this through without Senate approval. And Clinton and others are arguing, correctly, I think, that this is a treaty. It's not simply about, you know, if a soldier gets a traffic ticket, what happens, or those kinds of agreements that we've seen with Japan and with other nations that allow us to base troops in their countries. And so this truly is a treaty, particularly if it relates to the enduring or long-term bases that Bush has rejected bans on through signing statements repeatedly in defense authorization bills and others. And so I think this is a very critical issue, and it's one where I agree with Senator Clinton, and I'm not she's not my first choice for president, but I do like to be fair when she's on the right side of an issue.
No, I agree with you. I linked to her, just actually asking that question because she's right, and there's a bunch of Yale professors and everyone's going that, you know, in the 2002 UN resolution, well, it's already over. I mean, the mission's already been completed, and so it's almost really illegal that they're there in the first place. But if they're going to stay, you know, they are engaged in war. They need congressional approval, and President Bush cannot sign this treaty. It needs the Congress's approval, and of course, they're freaking that if it has to go to Congress, that they, you know, that they won't get the votes, and it just throw their all their plans up in the air. So of course they do what they've always done. They agree to something, and then they have, as you said, Bush does a signing statement.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with John Amato. Visit the website crooksandliars.com, crooksandliars.com. We're going to have some fun at Chris Matthews' expense, so stay with us right after this break. Grab a podcast of this hour and share it with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Our program produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Bo and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the Sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of things working out there. Pajaro, Salinas Road at Pajaro Road. Big rig and a car involved in a crash. That's clearing off to the right-hand shoulder with CHP on the scene. For Santa Clara County on the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. Four-car crash initially had the left lane blocked. It looks like that's been cleared off to the shoulder. It's on the eastbound side. You will see some heavy traffic, though, as you approach the scene. Highway 17 making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks installing accident-free. The Fish Hook in Santa Cruz, South 17, on to South 1, seeing that usual heavy traffic there. Highway 68, we have no stalls or accidents. And this is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, keep your Toyota a Toyota by trusting the factory-trained technicians of your genuine Toyota service center to tune and repair your Toyota to precise factory specs. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, that's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Turn this one up and scream.
I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more.
Creedence frontman John Fogerty. Got a great CD out with a couple of terrific protest songs like this one called I Can't Take It No More. But it's available at Walmart. Somebody get a hold of Mr. Fogerty and give him some lessons in PC of 2008, huh? John Amato with us from crooksandliars.com. You know this tune, John?
Yes, I do.
I think
it is funny that it's in Walmart, but he probably has no idea.
Yeah. I mean, in a minute and 39 seconds, it is a rockin' protest song that really speaks to me and for me.
Now, it's funny. It seems like the older cats are the ones that are really making the protest music, and they're doing a great job with it. I mean, Neil Young and yeah. Fogerty's doing. I actually posted some Fogerty stuff on my site, and Springsteen always comes out with a great tune.
Yeah.
We need that type of music. And you know what's always, I'm sorry to get off topic, but just talking about Bruce Springsteen, there's so many right-wingers that love Springsteen, and it freaks them out when he starts talking about Guantanamo Bay and torture, because they've seen them. They go, I wish he wouldn't do that, but I love his music.
No, I saw him in San Jose last Saturday night, the typical three-hour show. It was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was introducing Last to Die about the war in Iraq, he did a little spiel about Bush and Guantanamo and that kind of thing, and then he said, the E Street Band, we're going to sing about it. And he said, that'll scare him, won't it? So, I mean, he does understand. I think he's got a good sense of personal humility that, yes, he is singing songs that people connect with and identify with, but at the end of the day, they are songs. John, this Sunday's New York Times Magazine, which I'll get to see late next week after Kathy finally finishes the puzzle, is promising a cover story on Chris. Ha! Matthews, and I suffer through his show three or four nights a week because he does cover politics, but it is so infuriating to see the yin and the yang. One is just Thursday night, he was slobbering all over Tim Russert, who is his boss, and was just kissing up to him in a way that I found I was embarrassed for Chris. And on the other hand, he is guilty of a lot of extremely sexist comments, and these have been chronicled by Media Matters and others. He was even forced to apologize recently for some of his sexist remarks about Senator Clinton.
Yes, he is a guy who has no filter. So when he goes on the air, he doesn't like to read the teleprompter. He doesn't stay on message, and he just goes. And half the things he says, the staff is embarrassed. I mean, this is stuff that I know, that I've been told. He just, I don't know, he gets into this improvisational stuff, and he says, we actually, Crooks and Liars, we put up the first one when he went after the CNBC girl, and he was like slobbering all over her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so weird. And you go, how could a TV personality do that? But he's just, I guess he's just half crazy, because the things that he says is out there. You know, and he could be passionate. You know, he's sort of against the war, so he'll grab like a war reporter and hit him, but then he'll just go off the ranch.
Yeah.
And, with Russert, he's very jealous, the fact that he never gets to sub for Russert or meet the press.
Mm-hmm.
That drives him off the road.
He's jealous of Keith Olbermann, too. You can see he's very uncomfortable there. Two quick things. One is, I knew Chris before he was a TV star. He was an ink-stained reporter, the Washington bureau chief for the San Francisco Examiner, and I used to talk to him quite a bit.
Really?
And I ran into him a couple of years ago, and I said, Chris, I watch your show, but the guests really suck, and they don't let any lefties on, and Pat Buchanan is on as if he's your brother, almost every night. And he just looked at me and said, oh, I got out of that a long time ago. I don't deal with who the guests are. I just let them pick them for me. And that's kind of a stunning admission on a show that, is eponymous. It carries his name. You would think that he'd say, let's give Pat the night off. We've only heard from him 14 times this week.
I know. Even in a lot of shows, I'm not saying all of them, but I know a few others, it's the same thing where the producers control who the guests are, and then they go over topics with the writers, and they get their, whatever they're going to talk about, but it's actually the people who are producing the shows that book the guests.
Yeah.
And they're signing up every, why we see Pat Buchanan so much? It's because there's more of us than there are of them. Okay, there's more people that think more liberally, even if they don't, you know, they don't sort of want to admit it because mm-hmm. that name, you know, that the pundits have been able to try to smear the name liberal. But there's more of us than them. That's the conclusion. I mean, why is Bill Kristol writing in the New York Times? Because they can't find other people.
Well, that's an interesting theory. Let's listen a little bit to Jackie Speier, the newest member of Congress.
She's never more in tune with her constituents than when she is first running for the office. While holding over 60 community meetings across my district this year, the most common question was, when will we get out of Iraq? It was asked by voters across the spectrum, veterans, students, parents, the prosperous, middle class.
Well, good for Jackie Speier in her first message taking on the war. And you can see the clip at crooksandliars.com. John Amato, always great to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter. Love it. Love talking about music. Anytime, I'm in.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Here comes the Dalai Lama. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Dalai Lama is on a visit to Seattle this week, preaching compassion, charity, patience, and joy. A message so uncontroversial that even public school children will be taking field trips to see him speak. But these are tough times for compassion in America. Oh, we do food drives, we build wheelchair ramps, we rescue wounded squirrels. But that's compassion with a small c. The Dalai Lama is talking about compassion with a capital C. The kind of compassion that applies even to the unlovable. There's a story today about waterboarding of terror suspects. Former intel officials now confirm that it was authorized at the highest levels, all the way up to the vice president. But this story has never sparked general outrage because we have no compassion for the unlovable. Terrorists, sexual predators, North Korea, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, we'd nuke them all if we had to. And we're not going to pick a president based on compassion. It's not about who's compassionate enough to be president. It's about who's tough enough. Compassion is easy, sitting in a stadium listening to the Dalai Lama. It's a lot tougher in the traffic jam on the way home, and it's really tough towards your enemies. Which is why the Dick Cheney story that's getting all the attention today isn't about waterboarding. It's about the internet photo showing a reflection in his sunglasses that looks like a naked woman. It's actually the reflection of his left hand gripping a fishing rod, which makes his knuckles and fingers look like breasts and legs. Of course, to the young males who run the internet, everything looks like breasts and legs. But that's okay. I treat them all with compassion. Now this.
Precious rose, you color our world, till insects and disease turn it upside down. So backed by over a century of Bayer science, we've created Bayer Advanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care. It's the only no-spray formula that works three ways, controlling bugs and disease as it feeds for brighter, more vibrant flowers. So count your blessings and stop to smell the scientific advances. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
We are all fools at one time or another. Buddha said the fool who knows he is a fool is much wiser. The fool who thinks he is wise is a fool indeed. How true this is. And for a while the fool's mischief tastes sweet, sweet as honey, but in the end it turns bitter. And how bitterly we suffer. Well, if you're interested in not suffering anymore and maybe want to take a different approach to your life, I might be able to help in one small way. Here on KRXA on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., I offer my radio program Aspire. I hope you will do me the honor of listening, and maybe the two of us can find that divine wisdom that has always lived within us, and we just were too foolish to recognize. Come Aspire with me.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered.
Who wrote
except
that?
When he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, the salmon season on the left coast has been canceled. Is global warming a contributor?
There's a little something that's been freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming.
Why, thank you, Dr. Elmo. If you want to download that song, you can go to drelmo.com. He's the same guy who brought us Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and that's his song about global warming. Joining me now is Stephen Saunders from the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization. And as I referenced a moment ago, the Chinook salmon run here on the West Coast, primarily from the Sacramento River, has been canceled. The fishing season has been canceled because the salmon run has been so slight. It's about 10% of what it was only 6 years ago. And it's quite a disaster for sport fishermen and, more importantly, for professional fishermen and those of us who like to consume fresh salmon. I had some frozen Alaska salmon the other night, and I really miss the fresh salmon that we enjoy often this time of year in California. Stephen, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Are you a salmon lover, too, and did you take it up because of Dr. Perricone on public TV promising that your wrinkles would go away?
I have taken it up because it's good for my heart, but I also like it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will miss it I'll pay more or I'll miss it. I'm not sure which yet.
And I'll just take a moment here to moralize about farmed salmon. It is available in many supermarkets, but you are warned that you shouldn't consume more than one portion, I think, a week, because the way they raise those salmon in these pens, and they're there with fish waste and all sorts of complications, but fundamentally they're loaded with PCBs, and regular consumption of farmed salmon is something that many biologists and healthcare specialists don't recommend. But Stephen, I want to talk in a moment about your report, which I read the executive summary, and you state here that the West is being affected by changed climate more than any part of the U.S. outside Alaska. I want to come back to that. But first, what is your take on the salmon problems here, the real shortfall in the run of Chinook and the Sacramento River system? And are there connections to climate change, in particular the upwelling in the ocean that provides various types of food for salmon, that appears to have been sharply reduced because the oceans are warmer than they were just a few years ago?
Well, the scientists have not decided very definitely how much warmer temperatures and all the consequences are behind the big drop-off in the salmon. But there are teams of scientists that are looking at this that think it is pretty likely that there is a real cause and effect relationship there. The dead zone off the Pacific coast has been linked to changes in atmospheric circulation patterns that affect the upwelling.
Mm-hmm.
And there are changes that have to do both with the warming of the land, affecting the currents from the oceans over the land, and also changes in where the jet stream is, and that's linked to warming too. So
mm-hmm.
there are scientists that are still working at it. They have not said definitively. They say the most they've said so far is that this is consistent with the consequences of global warming.
Understood. And Stephen, we know that some human factors have contributed to a decline in the ideal conditions for salmon to spawn and reproduce. And part of that has to do with the battle over water between agricultural interests and those who are interested in fisheries. And here in California, California. It's been a long-running struggle, and many of our rivers are diverted into the California Central Water Project, and a lot of that is then shipped off to agribusiness at a subsidized rate. And, you know, many people believe that this is out of balance, that agriculture is taking precedence over human use of the water and making sure that adequate supplies of water and the cooler temperatures that are needed for salmon spawning are present at critical times of the year.
But what is very clear about this, Peter, is this is a very bright example of the kind of conflict that we're likely to have more and more of in the West. As global warming affects our water supply systems. We already have too little water for all the needs we have, and we already are seeing that global warming is affecting our water supplies. We are getting less snowfall, by and large. The snow we get is melting earlier in the spring, mm-hmm. so the water flows are heavier in the spring, and that means that they're less in the summer. And that's when we all need the water. That's when fish need the water, that's when crops need the water, that's when livestock need the water, that's when lawns need the water. So we are headed for more and more of these kind of hard conflicts about what we do with limited water supplies. And in the study that my organization has just done, we have documented that these changes are already underway. It's not just a matter of what the future might bring, it is what the present's already showing us.
And I have it up in my screen here. The title is Hotter and Drier. And let me expand on the part I read before. The West is being affected by a changed climate more than any other part of the U.S. outside Alaska. And the economic damages stemming from this disrupted climate are being felt across the region. The good news is this is a problem residents of the West can help solve. Are we going to solve it with $300 million of Al Gore's commercials? I saw the first one last night.
Well, I haven't seen one. What did you think of it?
It was pretty good. It showed, it opened with a sequence of U.S. troops going ashore at Normandy, and then I don't remember what the next scene was, but the whole idea was about, yes, we can, and you know, if we attempt this, we can succeed. And I thought it was pretty well done. I didn't realize what it was until after it had flashed by and I hit the replay on TiVo. And I do give them credit. I think that it's a clever spot that will catch people's attention. It's got a positive message that, yes, we can succeed at this. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good start. It won't fix the problem, but it certainly will heighten awareness. And the more people know about it, the more pressure they can put on our political leaders.
And I would share the actual sense of optimism behind that spot. I am a raging optimist about this. I think that we can solve this problem, and I don't know what was on there besides due day, but our country has faced and solved much tougher problems than this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think of ending slavery and the disunion that we were facing during the Civil War. You know, this is nothing compared to that. The good news is the things we can do to solve this problem help us in lots of ways, mostly that it will save us money. So it will help our economic situations individually, as families, as communities, and as a nation, because the best things we can do to reduce our greenhouse gases are to save energy, and the benefits of that are multiple. So once we decide that we want to solve this problem, I think we will.
Stephen Saunders with us.
Beginning to decide that we do want to solve it.
Pardon me. Stephen Saunders is our guest from the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization, and their website is rockymountainclimate.org. That's rockymountainclimate.org. And what is your perch in the Rockies, Stephen? Where are you?
I'm in Denver.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about some of the evidence that is compiled into your report. For example, I am aware from some previous interviews that the migration patterns of birds have changed notably and demonstrably because the areas that they used to fly to and the time of the year that they would make their moves, these have shifted, both the destination and the seasonal timing.
We've had a definite change in the timing of the season, but let me start with just kind of the basic warming that has occurred. We looked at government temperature data. We obviously didn't gather our own data, and that data shows that the planet as a whole in the last 5 years has averaged 1 degree Fahrenheit warmer than the 20th century average. And there's been a pretty steady step up in that warming over the last 20-some years. In the West, the warming measured the same way as it had been 1.7 degrees instead of 1.0 degrees. Mm-hmm. So the West is warm 70% more than the globe as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that already doesn't sound like much, but it's enough to change things like the timing of seasons, as you're saying, and the range of wildlife. We have studies that animals that used to live in certain parts of the mountains can't be found there anymore. They have to go up higher into the mountains.
Now, explain a little bit about why 1 or 2 degrees is so significant. I understand it in terms of the oceans, and that because just 1 or 2 degrees can be the difference between many of these anemones and other little critters that essentially compose the food chain for fish and marine mammals, that these, you know, modest to humans temperature changes have a dramatic effect on sea life. But what is the equivalent on land? And if you could characterize it, the difference between 1 degree and 1.7 degrees in cumulative average warming?
Well, the larger numbers obviously have greater effects, and 1.7 is just an average. The greatest effects we're seeing are where the increases have been greater than that. And that's in the inside of the West, not on the coastal areas. The Colorado River Basin has warmed 2.2 degrees. And that's significant because that river supplies water to two-thirds of the largest cities in the West,
mm-hmm.
in California and Arizona and Nevada. And these are some of the fastest-growing cities that we have. The warming that has occurred there has had an effect on the snowpacks, which have tended to be smaller, and the timing of the snowmelt, which tends to be earlier.
Yeah.
And then we have a drier summer, and we've had 5 years in a row, recently ended, but in this century so far, in the early years of the century, 5 years in a row where the Colorado River had its lowest water flow of any successive five-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a huge consequence if it keeps on going in that direction. We've also had more warming at higher elevations than at lower elevations, so the mountains are being affected more. We have more warming that's occurred in the winter so far than in other seasons, so our snowpack is more influenced by that.
Mm-hmm. And is there a logical connection here that because of the increased carbon emissions in the atmosphere, that as you get to the higher elevations of land masses, they are closer to those clouds?
Well, I'm not sure what the physics is. What strikes me, and I'm not a scientist, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm neither.
what strikes me is that it seems to be the times and the places that are coldest that have warmed the most. And I don't know if that's really a consistent thread in the physics of this warming that is occurring, but the poles have warmed more than most of the rest of the planet. The higher elevations have warmed more. In the West, at least, the winters have warmed more. So it right now seems to be showing up in the cold times and places.
Yeah. Well, and the naysayers often will pick just a moment in time when we have really cold weather or a nasty Pineapple Express storm here coming in onto the West Coast and say, see?
Yep.
But
what we have is we still have weather, and weather changes. The best analogy that I know is that what we've done with the pollution we put in the atmosphere is we loaded the dice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you load dice, you can still get any of the numbers, 1 through 6 coming up, but you'll get one number coming up more often. And right now, we've loaded the dice enough that the hotter numbers have been coming up more often.
That's a great metaphor. I'm a craps player. We're going to take a break and return with Stephen Saunders from RockyMountainClimate.org. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We give express treatment to salmon who call.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County Food Critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of things working out there. Pajaro Salinas Road at Pajaro Road. Big rig and a car involved in a crash. That's clearing off to the right-hand shoulder with CHP on the scene. For Santa Clara County on the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. Four-car crash initially had the left lane blocked. It looks like that's been cleared off to the shoulder. It's on the eastbound side. You will see some heavy traffic, though, as you approach the scene. Highway 17 making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks installing accident-free. The Fish Hook in Santa Cruz, South 17 on to South 1, seeing that usual heavy traffic there. Highway 68, we have no stalls or accidents. And this is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, keep your Toyota a Toyota by trusting the factory-trained technicians of your genuine Toyota service center to tune and repair your Toyota to precise factory specs. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, or you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're talking with Stephen Saunders from the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization, connecting climate change with potentially the cancellation of the salmon season along the West Coast, the Pacific, this year. And Roy from Carmel joins us. Roy, thanks for calling.
Well, you're welcome, and I think you guys are sort of on the right track, but particularly for Sacramento, there's two secret agreements that you, Peter B., should learn about.
Tell me.
One is called the Monterey Agreement, which was agreed upon 5 or 6 years ago, quietly, between the Los Angeles water interests and the south end of the San Joaquin Valley interests.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more recent one called the Napa Agreement, which also is a secret agreement. And it's dividing up the state's water without bothering to include the people or a lot of the other farmers and the fishermen or the sports fishermen or anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, Roy, I remember a little bit about the Monterey Agreement because I read a news account that there is a whole water district essentially at the south end of the valley there, and that they have a lot of political clout. That's what I recall.
They bribe a lot, I think.
They bribe you, say?
They bribe a lot of governors and legislators and senators and congressmen. Political clout, I think you should say what it is. They bought influence, and sometimes they bought it with our money that we gave them.
Mm-hmm.
But the real problem stems to what you're talking about, the shortage of water, and the Los Angeles folks have lost most of their surplus Colorado River water, and we're talking about hundreds of millions of acre feet that are being piled away, and the salmon problem has been going on for about 4 years. I don't know if you remember that, that when they closed the Klamath, because the Klamath was having its agricultural and water supply problems, they announced there'd be 1.5 million salmon going up the Sacramento River. Everybody get ready. Well, they never showed up. They didn't get close to 500,000 or much more. This has been going for the last 3 or 4 years, and they've been tight-lipped about it. I happen to know some people involved in the Department of Fish and Game, and I called them up. I said, now, what's going on? How come you're not telling what's going on to the press? He said, well, we'd like to be able to retire. We don't want to be fired. So it's essentially, and I noticed the connection to the water grabs of these two agreements, the Napa and the Monterey Agreement, which never have had public input into their EIs, or some of them never had an EIR, of those agreements have allowed this small group, relatively speaking, of large water users to co-opt the operations of all the state's Sacramento River reservoirs. So last year, to the amazement of everybody, everyone, the Shasta reservoir was down to next to nothing. Every one of the big reservoirs was empty, and everything in Southern California was flooded with water. What they're doing, which is Southern California is paying for the farmers to pump millions of unused acre feet of water into the ground for them to store for their use at their convenience. And by letting water out of our reservoir system, more than's needed for today's use, it creates a catch in the control of what you can take out so that they could say, oh, look, there's plenty of water in the river. We'll take some more for down south. And they're doing this during all seasons of the year. Used to do it just in the spring and summer. Now they're doing it all winter, all spring, and all summer. And the
so, Roy, are you a hydrologist or a fisherman, or what's your...
I'm a fish restoration supporter, and I'm actually focused on steelhead, but I'm very much interested in the plight of the salmon, too, and I follow this quite closely. And
well, Roy,
it's really upsetting to me that the news media pays very little attention to that. It's, oh, well, something's wrong in the ocean. And, of course, things are wrong in the ocean all the time.
All right, Roy, thank you.
Something wrong in the ocean for the last 4 years, though.
Okay, Roy, thank you for a great call. You're very well-informed, and I appreciate you bringing those issues up.
I want you to be well-informed, too, so look into it, please.
I will.
All right, thank you.
You've given me work to do. Stephen, welcome to California Water Politics.
Well, it sounds a lot like Colorado water politics.
Yeah.
Only
well,
we don't have salmon.
Give us a little comparison. What's the fight over water in Colorado like?
Well, we have fights over whether we're going to have enough water to leave in the streams for the fish we have here, which aren't salmon, but they are trout. And trout and salmon are both fish species that require cold water. And one of the problems that's affecting the salmon out there is the increase in temperatures in the water. They just have a harder time living in hotter water. And that's one of the things behind the recent closure of the Klamath River. In the interior west, we were looking at fishing closures in Montana last year. We had lots and lots of streams that were closed to fishing because they were having an unprecedentedly hot summer. Streams were too high. The fish were stressed out, and if they were even caught and put back in the stream, they were likely going to die, so they had to close down the fishing streams. Yellowstone National Park is some of the most famous fishing in the world, and there are people saying they're not going to go back to the park anymore because the fishing's not very good anymore. So we're seeing these kind of things everywhere in the West, and we're likely to see more of them as the climate keeps on warming up until we start to dial it back.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you're pretty bullish on solving these problems. So we've got about 1.5 minutes remaining here, Stephen. Give us your sense of what we should be doing to address the warming and to try to reverse these issues that we've been talking about.
Well, the most important thing for all of us is just to think about the climate consequences of the actions that we take. We need to connect the dots between the energy we use in our homes and driving our cars and what the consequences are. If we start to connect those dots, we'll change our own behavior. We will start to support politicians who are willing to enact policies that will reduce the climate change, and we can take care of this. We can solve this problem.
And where do you see the political momentum? Because I think that there is a lot of consensus among citizens and among academics. The problem we have is persuading politicians whose ears seem to be bent by the resource extractors who are committed to the status quo.
The best description of democracy that I know is one that Abraham Lincoln used to quote. And he said, quoting somebody else, his name I forget, "There go my people. I must find out where they're going so that I can lead them." If we, the people, decide this is something we want to have solved, our leaders will compete for our votes by telling us how they're going to solve it.
Well, that's very well said. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us. Again, the website, rockymountainclimate.org. I think your report's very well done. I recommend that people read it. rockymountainclimate.org. We've been talking with Stephen Saunders. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, my pleasure. Well, we're going to take a break here and return. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com for our third and final hour today. We'll talk election protection. And Brad is hot on two big stories about hostile takeovers between companies in the electronic voting machine industry. Yes, Diebold is the target of a takeover, and Hart InterCivic is trying to take over Sequoia. You can read all about it at bradblog.com, and Brad will tell us the story coming up in just a few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's been a terrible week for American Airlines and its passengers, and it's not over yet. The carrier plans to cancel about 200 flights tomorrow as it finishes up the wiring work on its MD-80 jets. Mike Boyd, an airline industry consultant, says all this expense and inconvenience is unnecessary.
This wiring bundle thing, it's not a big issue, and it could have been done over a period of time.
He blames the FAA for trying to look tough. The planes were grounded on what seems to be a technicality. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes explains.
An issue was not whether American had failed to tie off the wiring in the wheel wells of its MD-80s, as the FAA ordered back in 2006. Nope, what grounded all 300 of American's MD-80s was the airline's failure to tie off the wires at precisely one-inch intervals. Some were an inch and a quarter, some an inch and a half.
The FAA admits there was low risk of an incident, but says if there is an incident, it has high consequences. You can lose the entire plane. Kentucky and Tennessee have gotten the brunt of the bad weather today. Severe thunderstorms injured at least 8 people, causing power outages and property damage. A tornado apparently touched down in Dixon County, Tennessee.
I saw the main part when it started to sag out of the sky right over those trees there. I saw the tail drop out of the sky and come. That's when I took off to the cellar. Went down to the cellar.
Even then, she didn't appreciate the danger she was in.
It really didn't hit me. I wasn't really scared or anything until I came out and saw the damage.
Another resident says it was like a bomb went off. Bail for the Florida teenagers charged in that video beating has been set at $30,000 each. CBS News correspondent Peter King has more.
7 of the 8 are under 18, but all will be tried as adults. For now, they remain jailed on bond. Mary Nichols hasn't spoken to her granddaughter Mercedes since she and her friends were arrested.
The first thing I'm going to say is that I love you. The second thing is, as Dr. Phil would say, what were you thinking?
The teens will have lots of time to think. They all face several charges, including kidnapping, which could land them in prison for life. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Some of the teen's family members say they've been getting death threats. Tiger Woods is off his game at the Masters Golf Tournament. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there.
He may be the world's number one golfer, but he isn't playing like that here, at least so far. After two rounds of the Masters, Tiger Woods is just a bit better than ordinary, just one under par, seven strokes behind the leader, South African Trevor Immelman. A comeback won't be easy, but it certainly isn't impossible. 3 years ago, Woods was six strokes back at the midway point and eventually won. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Masters in Augusta.
GE's disappointing earnings dragged the stock market down today. The Dow lost 256 points to close at 12,325, the Nasdaq 61 points lower. The price of oil finished at $110.14 a barrel. This is CBS News.
This time of year is about barbecues, backyard sports, and playing fetch with man's best friend. It's also about protecting kids and pets while they play. American Fence Association members can help you pick out the fence style and materials that are right for protecting loved ones and beautifying your home. And AFA members strive for the highest standards of integrity in their businesses. Make sure your contractor is a member of the American Fence Association. Find your AFA contractor at AmericanFenceAssociation.com or call 1-800-822-4342.
Guys, it's time to go hunting for a new look at the men's store inside JCPenney. It's open season on great deals and great brands. Right now, it's Izod Week. Find the lowest prices of the season on all men's Izod sportswear. 40% off the entire stock of Izod sport shirts, polos, and shorts. Plus, 40% off Izod dress shirts. And speaking of big deals, big and tall sizes are also on sale. Happy hunting. The men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
The Arctic and Antarctic are poles apart, literally, but they share a troubling phenomenon, deteriorating ice shelves. CBS's Sam Litzinger has the latest development.
It's called the Ward-Hunt Ice Shelf. It's in Canada. It's 3,000 years old, and it appears to be the largest remaining Arctic ice shelf, but all that ice may not be around much longer. Scientists say they found extensive cracks, and the shelf seems to be breaking apart much faster than they expected when they found the first big crack in 2002. A huge ice shelf broke off in the Antarctic last month, and many experts say this is definitely a trend. One scientist says it's evidence climate change has crossed a threshold. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Two men from Massachusetts are charged with stealing a swimming pool from a backyard in neighboring Connecticut. Police say Timothy Morin and David Hawley dismantled the above-ground pool and loaded the parts into their car. They claimed they were taking it for scrap metal and thought they were doing the owners a favor. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, so what do I do here? Okay.
Break down, make sure it's in neutral.
Okay.
And just, there you go.
Oh, wow.
All right, throttle. Zipper it first.
It's time to go full throttle.
Good.
Yeah, stay in our yard.
Now through April 23rd at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on qualifying tractor purchases when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. Brands like John Deere, Toro, and Cub Cadet. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
You give Brad Friedman a day off and he writes a book-length article. Welcome to the final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today, where we take a look at election protection, election integrity, and those pesky electronic voting machines. Brad Friedman is the citizen journalist, publisher, proprietor, and chief cook and bottle washer over at bradblog.com. That's him in the beautiful green sweater. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how are you, sir?
The classic green.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
And we should explain that last week at this very time, we were unable to bring you our segment with Brad because we had a gizmo blow up here at the studio. And in Denver, they picked some programs to play for you because we had lost control. And we're back in control. But a quick note for our weekend affiliate stations, I forgot to tell some of them, that we don't have tones. And you know what that means. So there are hard breaks at 18 minutes after the hour and 47 minutes after the hour. And we don't usually share that with our listeners, but I wanted to make sure that the word gets around to our affiliates so that they don't have automation systems that go haywire over the weekend.
I'm glad you gave the word to me, because I'll just, you know, keep nattering on if I don't know those sorts of things.
Well, Brad, there's a lot to talk about, and you have a lengthy piece that really impressed me that I want people to read. That's the homework assignment over the weekend. Go to bradblog.com. And what we have here is a potential hostile takeover of one voting machine company by another. And we have a famous one underway right now as Microsoft is trying to hostily take over Yahoo. And many of us here near Silicon Valley figure that the combined company will be Microhoo. And so I kind of figured that if Hart InterCivic wants to take over Sequoia and there's some Smartmatic in the middle of all that, it's Hart Smartcoia. Does that work?
Yeah, it works for me.
And a little bit later, we'll talk about UTI Premier Bold.
Yes, indeed. Well, and that's a perfect example because UTI, this huge defense group, is trying desperately, it seems, to take over Diebold. And this is something that came out in this article that thank you for recommending. I'm quite proud of it. There was, and I can even advance the story a little bit above and beyond what we have on the blog. I've got to be careful because I've got a lot of sources here, but suffice to say, officials from both of the companies involved here, both Sequoia Voting Systems and Hart InterCivic, have pretty much hard confirmed everything in that story. Mm. And so, yeah, this impending sale to a competitor of Sequoia's is moving quickly, and we will have word, I should say, by Monday or Tuesday at the latest, because by Tuesday, Sequoia, or the folks who think that they own it now, will have to come up with some $2 million in cash, and the company is scrambling to come up with it by Monday, or they will lose the company to Hart InterCivic. All of this, of course, you know, when you read this article, there's a lot of things that a lot of issues that come to mind. One is this whole takeover business, and I mentioned it in the article that, you know, this story really underscores, look, now it's another voting machine company, Hart InterCivic, who has a fraud suit hanging over their heads, who are about to take over Sequoia. We'll see how that goes. But in fact, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, to keep a company like, let's say, Halliburton from coming in tomorrow, buying Sequoia or any other voting machine they want, and controlling elections in the United States as early as this November. That's the situation we've opened ourselves up to.
But Brad, Justice Department Antitrust Division will look at this very, very closely and then rubber stamp it.
That's exactly right. I mean, in truth, even if the Antitrust Department looked at it and if we had a legitimate one, what would they have to say? There's no antitrust situation here, you know, if a Halliburton moved in. It's just that people think, well, it's okay to have a Sequoia, a Hart InterCivic. These all sound like lovely, cuddly people. ES&S, Diebold sounds a little less cuddly. But still, you know, they don't think about it. And they don't think about the fact that these corporations have direct control over their elections and the machines that report the alleged results of their elections. It's a nightmare what we have allowed to happen in our country. It is the nightmare scenario, and therefore I expect no one to pay attention whatsoever.
And Brad, we're talking about chump change here.
Yep.
That $16 million would allow you to take control of SVS, right? And that's the critical part. SVS Holdings is the parent company of Sequoia Voting System.
So that's right. Actually, less than that. $2 million will get it for you. The rest of the money, the $16 million total that comprises this deal, the rest of that can be paid over the next 5 years, and Sequoia has a contract, a huge contract, the big enchilada here in New York State, where they've just struck a contract for $100 million. So anything you buy, as long as you can get that $2 million note that is being held currently by the former owners of Sequoia, who arguably still control it, this Venezuelan concern. As long as you can come up with $2 million to get that note, you take control of the companies, you can pay the, of the company, you can pay out the rest of the $14 million that you would owe out of that one New York contract alone. And I suspect the folks in New York and since you're on at least podcasting, I guess, with Green 960 in San Francisco, the folks in San Francisco should know they've just done a $10 million deal with Sequoia, thinking they were going into business with Sequoia. They're about to go into business with Hart InterCivic. And that money has already been given, by the way, to Sequoia and spent, from what I understand. But I should think the people of San Francisco would want to know. I would also think the folks of Oakland would like to know that Sequoia, which used to have, well, which currently has its headquarters in Oakland, is about to shut down that headquarters and move everything to Denver. So when I ran this story, it hadn't occurred to me yesterday, but pretty much everyone in that company had no idea about any of this, and they also had no idea that, especially those folks who work in Oakland, are very likely about to be out of a job within the next month or so, whether or not this sale goes through or not.
So you were the ones who broke the news to them?
Yep.
You lucky guy.
I did, and the company has since had to confirm all of those, we'll call them rumors, to be true to the rest of their company. Yeah, the company has been, the employees there have been startled by this news.
So, gosh, we got the weekend. Where can we get $2 million, Brad?
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess if we can come up with $2,000,001, we will have them beat.
I mean, I filed my tax return. I'm getting a few thousand back, but I don't know that I can get to $2 million.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Well, let's put our head together. How hard could it be?
And don't forget your taxes. Brian here just had an aha moment about an hour ago and said, you know, I just realized that I've got to file my taxes by Tuesday. So don't let that catch you by surprise. So what would be the downside of this, Brad? Is this just a transaction between two former competitors, the kind of consolidation that we've seen in banks and broadcasting and newspapers? The United States is becoming kind of a one company, one corporation per business or per industry kind of country anyway.
Yeah, it's been very interesting since filing this report because a lot of folks are reading it. But a lot of people don't know what to make of it. I saw one post actually over at DU who cut to the chase and said, well, is this good for voting rights or not? And in truth, we don't yet know. You said, what did you ask, the good side or the bad side?
No, the downside.
Downside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did very well articulate at the opening that this is corporate control of our elections, and it's being consolidated under fewer companies, and whatever competition there was is being driven out.
Well, that's right. And I think that I think one of the good sides here will ultimately be that as these counties around the country realize they're suddenly doing business with someone else, they may have some problems with that. That will get into newspapers, and it will begin the debate all over again about the concerns here. The downside, well, you've got a smaller company overtaking a larger company. Sequoia is actually larger. They will now become a powerhouse in the election industry. They'll become the number two in the country. If all of the best math here we've got is correct.
And what are those rankings? Is Diebold number one?
No, Diebold is actually number two. Diebold is the largest company overall,
right,
but only 5% of their business or so is in the election business. So they're number two currently. Number one is actually the thugs over at ES&S who behave like mafia dons across the country. They're number one currently, but when Sequoia and Hart, if they in fact combine, I think they will displace Diebold to become become the number two company in America, and pretty huge at that. You know, Hart Interscivic has largely flown under the radar for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more familiar with Diebold and ESNS and Sequoia, but I suspect they'll know of Hart soon enough if this goes through. And while they may or may not know about Sequoia, there's been a lot of news, some of which I tossed into the story yesterday, concerning what's going on in New Jersey,
right,
with these machines. And following a Brad Blog expose, the blonde nymphomaniac-seeking a dude by the name of Mike Gibbons, who had been hired by Sequoia to do a independent investigation, has now been released from that investigation.
Oh, well, good for you. You got another notch in your belt.
Oh, we do. He's not getting any money either right now.
All right. Time for a break. And Brad Friedman's here this entire hour. You got a question about elections, about the machines, about this hostile takeover in the voting machine industry? Give us a call now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Busy right now. Still have an accident clearing up in Santa Cruz. Southbound 17 after Pasatiempo Drive. Motorcycle and a car blocking the left-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene. Heavy traffic as you approach the area right now. For Soledad, northbound 101 at the Soledad State Prison. Injury crash. Two cars. That's in the center divide. Going the other way, southbound 101 before the prison, we have a wooden pallet. Watch out for that in the second lane from the left. Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Prunedale North Road. A two-car crash. Both cars may actually be in a nearby 35 parking lot. CHP is on the way out to the scene. And for the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway, two separate crashes reported out there. Looks like both of them have been cleared off to the side. This traffic report is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service department. Toyota owners, keep your Toyota a Toyota by trusting the factory-trained technicians of your genuine Toyota service center to tune and repair your Toyota to precise factory specs. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Let's sing along, class.
It's another fascist day. It's just another fascist day. Every day, Davia gets his way. It's another fascist day.
Staying the course, we're not drawing down any more troops.
Fascist.
And we just need another $100 billion.
The Constitution is now passé. Democracy is in full decay. It's another fascist day.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us as usual, and now live from Columbus, Ohio, scene of the crime in 2004. The lead singer of the song you just heard, it's Victoria Parks. Hi, Victoria.
Hello, Peter B. And Brad, how are you, gentlemen?
I heard you singing along, Victoria.
I didn't want to be too obnoxious. I'm already obnoxious enough as it is.
I knew it had to be you.
Brad, now that you're talking about companies taking over and merging and all this merging in the voting technology industry, I'm sure you are aware of the United Technologies takeover bid of Diebold, or Premier.
Indeed.
Same pig, different lipstick.
And Victoria, we've been trying to come up with the new corporate names, Heart Smart Koya, or Udi Premier Bold, or Diudi Premier Bold. We'll have to send that over to some professionals.
How about we vote for you?
How about no need to vote? We've already counted them.
That's right.
So, Brad, you did tease that a little bit earlier. Tell us about this effort by a big military-industrial company to buy some voting machine operations.
Well, yeah, and in fact, I'm sure Victoria can fill us in with some of the later details, but they've been pushing hard to take over Diebold, and in fact, it probably the best thing that ever happened to Diebold. Their stock, which had almost turned into a penny stock, frankly, shot back up. It's still not near the highs that it was last summer when Brad Blog reported exclusively, and still exclusively, unfortunately, that a bunch of insiders at Diebold, a bunch of officials, sold off a bunch of stock all on the same day last summer. But it helped out their stock price a little bit because they offered $40 a share. United Technologies, which is a great big defense firm, so far Diebold has held off that effort, but I don't know how much longer they can hold it off. In truth, United Technology really seems to want Diebold, and if I was a shareholder of Diebold, I'd be mighty ticked off that they're not taking that offer.
Well, let me ask you that, Brad, because just how hostile is this? Wouldn't Wally O'Dell and the gang love to unload the voting machine division? I mean, they renamed it. They tried to split the stock off. They clearly see that as a loser from their ATM and vault business.
Yeah, but the problem is, well, A, Wally O'Dell is not there. They have finally pushed him out. But B, they're not trying to buy just the election division. They want to buy the entire company.
Oh.
They're talking about Diebold in whole.
I see.
What worries me so much is that this is the military-industrial media complex. And I think that most Americans are really uncomfortable with the idea of a top five military contractor controlling our voting machines. I mean, when I think of a military-controlled government, I think of Indonesia or China or you know, I don't think normally of the United States of America.
That's
well,
right.
And Victoria, not to make any lightness of your music, but the term fascism is not something I take lightly, and it applies here. We do
Absolutely.
Have collusion between government and corporate interests at an unprecedented level, and it meets the dictionary definition of fascism. A lot of people, you know, think that's a real loaded term, and they think that it's you know, it's got heavy rhetorical baggage. But when you look at the definition of fascism, it is the collusion of interests between government and corporate or business interests in a given nation, and we're seeing that in a very high profile in many industries right now.
I like to refer to Lawrence Britt's 14 defining characteristics of fascism, mm-hmm. and that is what I based the lyrics of that song on.
Yeah.
We've met all 14 criteria.
Yes, we have. And in fact, Lawrence Britt's been on our program. We've been over it. And it is frankly just so chilling when you go through that checklist and say, you know, media controlled by the government, you know, elections are being grabbed, religiosity is being tied to political issues and efforts. I don't have the 14 in front of me, but those are the ones I remember.
Elections belong to the people, not the military-industrial media complex, and I think that's what this all comes down to with all this merging and stuff. Thanks for everything you do, Brad.
And thanks, Pat Gadget. Let me throw out, by the way, Diebold already has some defense contracts themselves, so we've already got a defense contractor in this business, and I'm sure after the break we'll get to some, since you're calling from Ohio, Victoria, some news, some interesting news out of Ohio this week, that's for sure. But let me, unless we're up hard against the clock, let me just say.
40 seconds, go.
Good, I can do that. Victoria Parks' Democracy by Victrola and the Dust Bunnies. You want to check it out. That's what that's from. And if you go to Brad Blog for a mere $5 a month, sign up for a monthly sustainer support, we will send you a hand-signed copy of Democracy, and it is hilarious.
Okay, you did that very well. Thank you, Victoria.
Support the Brad Blog.
Always
That's
good.
Right, it's time for you to step up, people.
It's always good to hear from a Buckeye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Victoria. We're going to take a break and return with his Bradness, and we'll take more of your calls from Columbus or anywhere else within the sound of my voice. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And go to bradblog.com. I command you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking about elections and election machines. Brad Friedman from Brad Blogs with us. That was the second song that Bruce and the E Street Band blew out at the concert I saw in San Jose last Saturday night, and Radio Nowhere.
Man.
I've been there. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment about election issues. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Before we move on to shenanigans in Ohio, and I want to ask you about the latest proposals from Rush Holt in the Congress. Brad, anything else we should add to the discussion about these hostile takeovers? Hart InterCivic and Sequoia and UTI working on Premier Diebold.
Well, we're gonna see a lot come down, I suspect, next Monday. So I'll put it on hold. We'll back up your advice for folks to go read the article at the top of Brad Blog, and we'll pick things up next week. We'll see where we get.
All right, Stephen Salinas says the Democratic Party ought to buy one of these machine companies, and Steve, I don't support that. I don't think either party, I don't think any political entity should be involved in the election process. I was very uncomfortable when at certain points it's been suggested that private parties pay for a rerun of the Democratic primaries in Florida and Michigan. And we've seen enough privatization of the election process already. It would not help for Democrats, and certainly we wouldn't want Republicans. After all, ESNS is a Republican company from the, is it the Hagel brothers?
That's right. From in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Hagel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Senator Hagel.
And we don't need to push that virus any further.
Yeah, although, you know, one of the big reasons that the previous owners of Sequoia, Smartmatic, ended up selling it off in this, what I really believe is pretty much a phony sale, to this group called SVS Holdings, was because Congress noticed that, in fact, this Smartmatic group was controlled in part by Hugo Chavez and mm-hmm. his government. And so this was the thing that brought out for the first time when this became known, you finally heard a bunch of right-wingers yelling and screaming that it's outrageous that a company could be owned by Hugo Chavez and control American elections. And, of course, a CFIUS review took place in Congress, and that's why they eventually unloaded the company, or at least acted like they unloaded the company. Clearly, Smartmatic, this Venezuelan concern, still controls the thing. But it, the fact that it was a left-wing operation that was owning the company, that was a problem for the Republicans. Hmm. Apparently, they don't have problems with all of the other companies being controlled by big-time right-wingers.
And I have some criticisms of Hugo Chavez. But what was interesting is that the election, the referendum that he ran last fall, which was a power grab on his part, it would have basically reconstituted the government, permitted him to become president for life. I mean, it was a very loaded set of proposals, and the election was held on those voting machines controlled by friends of Hugo Chavez, and he lost.
Well, that's right. Yeah, so I guess he doesn't control them well enough, but... But, you know, the point was, and this is actually what got, you remember, Lou Dobbs had jumped into this game and has been hands down the best in the corporate mainstream broadcast media. He has been the best on this. He's done probably 60 reports over the past year or so on the voting machines. And what got him into it, of course, was outrage that Hugo Chavez might be controlling our elections. So I didn't mind all that much that suddenly the right-wingers cared about it, because at least... when you look at this topic, you can't help but, you know, go from one company to the next and see that they are all controlled in this way. They are all terribly run. And as a matter of fact, a report, we've got a piece of it up on Brad blog this afternoon. We had a bunch of computer scientists sat down and gave some public testimony last week and said the 2008 U.S. presidential election can be hacked. And David Wagner of University of California, one of the folks who worked on Secretary of State Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review of these voting machines, said that the systems that they looked at, they are still going to be used in the 2008 election. They're still going to have these same vulnerabilities that we found. So this is a very serious problem. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. On the other hand, if Brad Friedman ends up winning the Pennsylvania primary next week, 100% to nothing, I wouldn't be against it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, the system's working.
That's right.
Steven Salinas would like to defend himself. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. I made that comment a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but really, if the Democrats own those machines, then it wouldn't be hard to get the Republicans to say, hey, we got to do away with those machines. That's my objective.
That's
well,
not a bad point.
Well, then let me ask this, because this has been on my mind since we started this discussion. Brad, here we have UTI and Hart wanting to take control of competitors so that they can dominate an industry that we hope will be dead very soon.
Mm-hmm.
have they heard?
Well, yeah, you know, it was interesting. Well, because UTI is taking over Diebold as a whole, I'm quite sure they'd be delighted to not take over the elections part of Diebold. That just comes with the meal. But on the other hand, with Hart, yeah, in talking to sources, I don't suspect an outsider would come along and want to buy these voting machine companies right now. It's a ridiculous investment. On the other hand, somebody who's already in the industry does have a good reason that I won't bore you with, but there are good reasons for them to grow larger and get more contracts here. It makes it a little bit easier for them to do business.
Yeah.
But no company in their right mind would invest in a voting machine company at this point, and that's why it seems highly unlikely that Sequoia is going to be able to come up with the money to save themselves by next week, because they'd probably have to rely on outside investors. And I know there's a lot of suckers out there, but hopefully they would be smart enough to avoid this deal.
This is not quite as silly as it might sound initially, but, you know, Electronic Arts is this big video game company. They're in a hostile takeover of the guys who did Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I would think from the point of view of a video game manufacturer that an electronic voting machine company looks pretty interesting, because you've got government contracts at very high margins, and the performance requirements are almost non-existent.
That's for sure. That said, though, most of the government money has really now dried up. The big government money was the HAVA money, the Help America Vote Act money. Most of that is now gone, and these voting machine companies all realize they are in for a tough ride now, because they will admit, even to me, most of the time off record, but that we have won. The naysayers have won. Everyone is going back to paper. And optical scan systems, which only use, you know, one machine per precinct, don't offer the kind of payday that those touchscreen machines did, where you might have 10 or 12 of these ridiculously high-priced machines in each precinct.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you got a follow-up?
No, that's it. I want to get rid of those machines. And if that would help, then I'd go for it.
Well, why don't you buy a few and then just blow them up over at Fort Ord?
Well, no, I'd rather fix them.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And what about Rush Holt? What's he been up to, and isn't there another bad Holt bill coming out of the pipeline?
Yeah, there's indeed there is. What he's trying to do is a good idea, and it's sort of what I had recommended, you may remember, back in 06, essentially an emergency paper ballot bill to put money out to jurisdictions to have either emergency paper ballots, or just if they want to move to paper ballot systems as a whole, that they can optionally do so, and the federal government would pay for it. Problem is, as usual, Steny Hoyer and his pro-touchscreen interests have gotten in here, and they've agreed to give money to jurisdictions who want to add paper trails to their existing touchscreen machines. As folks who follow this show every Friday at 5 p.m. well know, adding paper trails to touchscreens does nothing, and it would be just another federal boondoggle. I'm not killing myself to either support or detract from this bill, because, frankly, I just don't think it's worth the time of day, and I can't see it passing passing in the Senate at this rate, at this late date either.
Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us here. You can call in at 888-5-PETER-B. And we promised Victoria in Columbus a little news about Ohio, and I see a guest blog item from Ellen Tyson here.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Thought you were going to a break there. I had the clock all messed up.
No, I'm back to you, Brad.
Ellen Tyson, well, she reports on recent problems within the past week or two that have been discovered in both New Jersey, where they use the Sequoia Advantage touchscreen machines, which, by the way, will be used in Pennsylvania next week, even though they failed in New Jersey. So you can look forward to that. And an interesting item this week we found from Butler County, Ohio, where the Diebold touchscreen machines from their recent primary, they found an interesting problem. Butler County had uploaded the memory cards from each of the machines to the central tabulator, a total of 1,599 of them, yet... And the system said everything went well and they were all uploaded just fine. And then they found that one of those cards did not upload at all, or at least the values, the voter totals on those card on that card, didn't get to the system. So Diebold told them, oh, just do it all again, because that happened on election night. They said, do it all again for your final canvas. They did it all again. All 1,599 cards acted as if they were accepted by the central tabulator just fine, but once again, a different memory card failed to upload. So Ellen's article, Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org, she took a look at the error rate that caused in Ohio, and the error rate reported on those machines in New Jersey, which failed, and found that there is a federally allowable error rate of 0.0002%, if I'm remembering it correctly. Nonetheless, the machines in Ohio and in New Jersey ended up being far higher than that, and in fact, what was the final total she came to?
Well, I have it here.
Yeah.
It is in New Jersey. The error rate is more than 600 times as high as the maximum error rate, or 60,000%. And let's see, in Ohio or in Butler County, the server there was between 400 and 900 times, or 40,000 to 90,000%.
40,000 to 90,000% higher than that allowed by federal law.
And, you know, my solar-powered calculator doesn't even actually go up to 90,000%.
Yeah, it was not easy math to come up with this. But, in fact, yeah, and this has been happening all around the country. This is part of the Help America Vote Act. There is an error rate that these machines must conform to. Clearly they haven't, which makes the Diebold touchscreen system used all over the country and the Sequoia touchscreen system to be used next week in Pennsylvania illegal according to federal law.
Oh, well, we'll follow up and outlaw them immediately.
I'm sure they'll take care of it right away.
More in a moment with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. We'll talk about Don Siegelman and his stolen election next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Busy right now. Still have an accident clearing up in Santa Cruz. Southbound 17 after Pasatiempo Drive. Motorcycle and a car blocking the left-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene. Heavy traffic as you approach the area right now. For Soledad, northbound 101 at the Soledad State Prison. Injury crash. Two cars. That's in the center divide. Going the other way, southbound 101 before the prison, we have a wooden pallet. Watch out for that in the second lane from the left. Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Prunedale North Road. A two-car crash. Both cars may actually be in a nearby parking lot. CHP is on the way out to the scene. And for the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway, two separate crashes reported out there. Looks like both of them have been cleared off to the side. This traffic report is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service department. Toyota owners, keep your Toyota a Toyota by trusting the factory-trained technicians of your genuine Toyota service center to tune and repair your Toyota to precise factory specs. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRX.
Memory check. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And nobody remembers that group. They're called Chumbawamba. Oh, Brian does. Brad Friedman with us from BradBlog.com, and I need to mention that the Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and that Washington Times propaganda machine. Check out the video at kingofamerica.com. That's triple dub, kingofamerica.com. You see, I remember. Brad Friedman, we have been following very closely the reporting of Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story, Scott Horton from Harper's, about the case of Don Siegelman in Alabama. And Larissa's series is now up to 5 parts, and she's moved over to Mississippi. And what we've seen here is a pattern of political corruption centered on Karl Rove and his long-term efforts in Texas, and now we know Alabama and Mississippi, to pack the state Supreme Courts with pro-corporate justices. It's been a very successful effort. And that is at the core, at least in some respects, of the kangaroo courts that have handled these trials of Don Siegelman and others over in Mississippi that are driven by political cronies of Karl Rove, who happen to inhabit U.S. attorney offices. And Don Siegelman's case has gotten some attention finally in the mainstream media. 60 Minutes did a very lame follow-up last Sunday. They gave 20 minutes to Doug Feith to gild the story of his participation in the run to war and the Bush administration's torture policies, and then only gave Siegelman about 3 minutes. Only one soundbite was used from a Q&A between him and Scott Pelley. And to date, as you point out on Brad Blog, the news media has been we've had to force them into covering the Siegelman case to begin with, and it wasn't until he was released on bail that the New York Times and other outlets started to cover it. But there has been a very careful excising of one critical part of Don Siegelman's story. Tell us.
Yeah, indeed. And what's remarkable is the fact that we've got this on video with him making these allegations back from 2004. When he was talking about his 2002 election, he went to bed that night having been announced the winner in 2002. And then he was awoken the next morning told that what do you know, they went out to one of the counties where there's a Republican election director, and somehow this election director found thousands of votes on electronic voting machines in the middle of the night that resulted in a flipped election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Don Siegelman was back in 2004 saying quite directly, he says, quote, there's no other way to sugarcoat this. This election was stolen. He believes it was stolen on electronic voting machines back in 2002. Now, there's another piece of that story, and then we've got the video at Brad Blog. Mark Crispin Miller has been sort of banging that particular drum.
Yes, he has.
There's another piece of that story as well, though, that ties in here, and that's the fact that in 2006, and I don't know if anybody other than Brad Blog has yet to tie in this dot, but in 2006, the Justice Department, our old friend, John Minority's Die First Tanner,
mm-hmm.
Had ordered the election, the control of elections, go from the Democratic Secretary of State in Alabama over to the Republican governor's office of Governor Riley, the man who Don Siegelman says stole the election from him back in 2002. It's an unprecedented move. You could imagine, Peter, if the Justice Department ordered control of elections be taken away from Deborah Bowen in California and handed to Arnold Schwarzenegger's office for 2008.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened back in 2006. So you start connecting some of these dots and you realize this is a serious concern. Now, Siegelman has been telling that part of the story. He says, and we've got an email exchange between Mark Crispin Miller and Don Siegelman posted a Brad Blog now from yesterday, where Mark asked him, why aren't these people reporting on this? And Siegelman says, look, I have told that part of the story to 60 Minutes, to Dan Abrams, to the LA Times, to the Washington Post, and they all have failed to even report the allegation, which I think is pretty extraordinary. You've got a former sitting governor saying they stole my election on electronic voting machines. That alone seems to be newsworthy. Whether it's true or not, I would love them to investigate and find out. But that allegation alone seems pretty extraordinary, and yet none of these outlets are reporting it, and I can't tell you why.
Right. It seems that they want to protect us from the idea that elections might be manipulated or outright stolen in this country.
Well, I can't thank them enough for that. By the way, speaking of protecting us, I just got an email here from John Zogby that Clinton is currently ahead 47% to Obama's 43% in Pennsylvania.
That's the tightest I've seen.
Yeah, that's right, with some 10%, let's see, 2% are holding out for someone else, 8% said they are undecided. So you've got basically 10% up in the air, a 4% race between Clinton and Obama, and touchscreen machines all over the state of Pennsylvania, which don't even have the crappy, inaccurate paper trails on them. Good luck, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting a week from Tuesday.
Indeed.
And with that much time remaining, this tightening poll number is very interesting. Clinton was up over Obama by double digits as recently as a week or 10 days ago, and that narrowed into the high single digits this week, and now you're reporting, as I said, the lowest margin that I've seen so far.
That's right, and the problem is when we get done with this thing, I'm probably not going to have much to say about it either way because it's in Pennsylvania. It's pretty much 100% faith-based voting. We just have to accept whatever number it is they tell us.
Yeah. Well, Brad, it's been a great show. I want to thank you very much, and I want to take a moment here to direct people to go to bradblog.com. There's a lot of great information. For example, over the weekend, I'm going to check in because you've got the Siegelman interview with Dan Abrams that I missed the other night. The videos are right there. And let me just put in a plug for you because Brad does this at considerable personal expense. And if you can help him with a contribution, as he mentioned, you can get yourselves a Victrola and the Dust Bunnies CD. Any other gifts that you got there that might induce people to come forward?
Oh, yeah. Hand-signed Victrola and the Dust Bunny, hand-signed Trouble Town Told You So by Lloyd Dingle, the game Politics as Usual. You can have any of those for a pledge of $5 a month. You don't even have to pay me the $5. You just have to pledge to do it, and we'll send it out to you. Hand-signed, also uncounted DVDs, hand-signed by the filmmaker David Earnhardt, are also still available. God knows we really need your support. No kidding. And thank you for that plug, Pete.
And so you have a faith-based pledge system there?
Well, you know, you're going to have to pledge to give at least the first $5. Well, that's going to happen via PayPal, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
But, you know, I can't stop you from canceling thereafter.
All right. Brad, real good. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good one.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Enjoy your weekend. Pay your taxes. And tune in again next time we offer you the Peter B. Collins Show. Go to phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com, and download me to your iPhone.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
This is an outrageous stunt by the FAA to look tough.
Airline industry consultant Mike Boyd says the FAA was wrong to order urgent inspections of American Airlines MD-80 jets, forcing thousands of flight cancellations and disrupting the travel plans of a quarter million passengers. He says the problem with wiring bundles in the wheel wells is not a big issue and could have been addressed over a period of time. More on this from CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The airline claims it asked for a few extra days to make the fixes, so it wouldn't have to cancel all those flights. But the FAA says it received no such request, adding that some of the clamps were installed backwards, which could result in chafing. While the safety risk is low, it said, the consequences are high.
American hopes to return to a full schedule on Sunday, but says about 200 flights will be canceled tomorrow. Major airlines, including American, have matched United's fare increase of up to $30 round trip. The carriers say they're trying to offset the high cost of jet fuel. A Florida judge has set bail ranging from $30,000 to $37,000 for the 8 high school students charged in the video beating of another teenager. They'll all be tried as adults on kidnapping and battery charges. One defendant's grandmother says the families are suffering community backlash.
I've gotten over 300 phone calls, death threats. I have a whole list. But they didn't even block their numbers.
The judge has imposed a gag order on everyone involved in the case. He's ordered the teenagers to stay away from school and from social networking websites like MySpace. GE reported lower than expected quarterly profits today and warned that earnings for the rest of the year will be below par. That threw the stock market for a loop.
Wall Street doesn't like surprises, and General Electric never warned about its earnings. We found out today that one of the world's biggest companies is saying, we're not immune from the slowing economy, and that sets a bad tone for the rest of the earnings season.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. The Dow dropped 256 points to finish the week at 12,325, and GE shares fell 13%. Market analyst Eugene Peroni says that's unwarranted.
This is one of those knee-jerk reactions to the financial-related woes, not indicating what is